Hey, okay. What's up?
Hey. Hey, so for the second week in a row, we should start with fucking Chiefs.
Fuck it, Chiefs. I stopped watching that game after, like, the middle of the second quarter.
I was listening. I was going to go over to the Pine Street bar that opens at 10 and has all the games. And then, I don't know, for some reason I just decided not to, and I'm really glad. I listened to the first half through my headphones, and I was done.
Yeah, that's good.
Well, what kills me the most is that not only did the Chiefs look like total crap, but I drafted third Fred Jackson, who was injured for Buffalo, and CJ Spiller took his place. The guy I'm going against has fucking CJ Spiller, and CJ Spiller put up 28 goddamn fantasy points against me.
And it also means that Fred Jackson may not have a spot when he comes back.
And that's why I stopped watching. I went out and I got some Stone Anniversary IPA beer and a backup of some Shock Top Pumpkin Ale and a couple of goddamn White Castle sliders.
The White Castle's what's making me choke. Even though I'm kind of queasy and not feeling that great, I would still choke on some sliders. Yeah, I would still try. I'd be like,
well. Well, I figured since this week is sports related, I might as well do sliders because you're sliding into something.
That's good. It's good. You guys want to hear in that topic, like a I gotta find it. This is a kind of goes into that macho athlete. This is a Blanche Knott's Truly Tasteless Jokes 3.
Oh, right. Nice.
What's the definition of macho?
What's that?
Jogging home from your own vasectomy.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, that's like your middle mouse button now, isn't it?
I pretty much just need to carry something around on my person with that noise.
It's kind of like Leslie Nielsen and his fart machine that you.
Yeah, right. I just thought since you said sliding in, I was thinking sports macho. I went through the book trying to find. They didn't have a sports section, which I was hoping they would have, but they
didn't.
Again,
everything.
Leslie Nielsen. Speaking of Leslie Nielsen, he is in the third Slapshot movie, which was part of, I guess, our homework movie assignment.
Did we all watch 2 and 3?
I watched 2 and 3.
I watched the original 2 and 3.
Oh, Tim. Well, I watched
the original.
Original
so many times.
Yeah, me too.
I hadn't seen it in a long time, and I wanted some context. Yeah. I wanted to know how far apart they were. I knew they'd be far apart, but I wanted to know how wide the gulf was.
What's the year's difference here?
77 to 2001 or 2, and then, no, 2002 and then 2008. And that was one of Leslie Nielsen's last movies.
And it shows, too. That's why I brought that up.
He was so not used correctly.
I'm with Tim on this. I think there was something wrong with him.
Because his little speech in the locker room, he was like fighting his way through that. That was not.
But okay, so we got that coming up, right? So yeah. Slapshot 2. We'll do the Slapshot series. I didn't get the Goon, but we'll do the Slapshot series.
I just ran out of time, and I have to tell you that those. Okay, so I love Slapshot. Absolutely love it. One of my favorite movies. I saw it. I'm like you, Hoke. I've seen it a million times. Absolutely love it. One of my favorite sports movies. And the second one is possibly one of the worst movies I've seen in recently. And I thought the third one was bad, but the third one was more watchable. It was just kind of like a little edgier version of the Mighty Ducks.
I'm flipped on that. I'm sorry, John. But
really?
I thought 2 was more of a direct sequel. I think the premise was a little more goofier. But the third one was obviously like what you were saying, a Mighty Ducks ripoff. And
I call it the Mighty Schmucks, is what I wrote in my notes.
But it totally, I felt like watching the third one that it was a masculated version of Slapshot so they can appeal to a wider audience. I don't know. Tim, what did you think about the Slapshot?
2 and 3.
Yeah, seriously. I think we all agree that like the first one is a classic. Everyone should own it and see
it.
It's
wonderful. Yeah, I have it on VHS.
Now, the 2 and 3, so I watched 2. I had to break 2 into pieces because it just was hard to...
like through. A giant turd, you have
but,
to break it into pieces.
But 3, I kind of got through.
You have to cut it up with your own pee.
Yeah.
Well, I got through 3 without too much trouble. I knew it was going to be a kids movie because it was RRPG. So I went into it thinking
that was
PG. That's PG, and I thought they pushed the limit of a PG rating myself, but
yeah,
a little bit. But
the only thing that was close was the Slut magazine that they had.
Yeah.
Well, that, and then like, I didn't quite. No, I won't go into that because we'll talk about more in depth in that. But anyway, I thought the second one, it was just hard to get through. I don't know if it's the acting. It was more of a direct sequel to the other movie, and it was.
I appreciated that because I appreciated it.
But man, it was convoluted. I didn't understand like all the, it's like, oh, we're going to sell the team, but we can't sell the team, but we are going to sell the team, but we're not. And then.
But then the Hansons win the money, then they buy the team.
And well, why, when the Hansons won the money in the first place, why didn't they just come and buy the team? And then Gary Busey, who's he's just, oh, well, the team won, and so now it's a big story. So he's ready to take credit for it. He's like, oh, I want to keep the team. And they're like, nope.
You mean our little demon, Gary Busey, yeah. Right?
Our personal demon.
Old Mr. Busey. And then it's like, I don't know.
Took so many goddamn notes for some reason on 2 when I was watching it.
You should not have wasted time doing that, I don't think.
Oh, no, I do that with a lot of the stuff. I mean, I guess my role to all this has been the kind of guy who over-researches and over-does stuff. But I made this little code where I wrote like G's next to things and F, and the G means something that was good in the movie, and the F is something that's funny. Okay, so on Slapshot 2, I have 2 funnies and 2 goods. That's it. And the funny was when the guy said, "We're fucked in the dick," made me kind of chuckle. And then I kind of chuckled when the Hansons were doing the butt-fucking choreography.
Oh, yeah.
I don't mean to sound like it was like a hoo-ha. It was just kind of a, and then the good is I thought that the annoying gay coach did a good job because he was really just, yeah, you know?
Oh, and, yeah.
And then,
it's over the top, though.
Yeah, but he was kind of, I mean, but to me, it was like, he was one of the only people who really did his job in the movie as an actor. And then the only other thing they have is good was the wet-haired lady in the, you guys see her boobies.
Yeah.
That was pretty good. That was so gratuitous. That was just like, oh, yeah, we need to throw some boobs in here.
Yeah. Was there even boobs in the first one? I don't think there might have been.
Yeah.
It was the first one. It was the mom from A Christmas Story.
Oh, wow. Oh, she was the one who would she talk, hand her hand, like he beat her up?
Yeah. It was she was the one. She ended up going out. He roughed her up, but then she started dating women.
Mm. Because that's the great line, a lesbian, when he gets him to run out of goal and they score the,
Yeah, but that was the mom, that was the nudity in that first one, and that was the mom from A Christmas Story.
Melinda Dillon.
Yeah.
Wow.
Would you like to guess how old Melinda Dillon is now?
Oh, God, 70s?
I'd say she's about 3 years in the grave.
No, she's alive.
Okay.
She's 73.
Wow.
Now here's the thing, do you feel odd, like if say like you're watching something and you're enjoying the boobies in that sense, and then you think of what those boobies look like now? Does it kind of if you were pitching batting practice, would you have trouble?
No, I wouldn't. Well, okay, seriously, it's like it was at that time, right? Mm-hmm. You need to be appreciated for that time. I mean,
so it's Zen boobies. You're in the now.
It's innovations, right?
Yes.
Oh, man.
Nice tie-in. I'm impressed. Nice work.
Yeah.
I have a question for both of you.
Oh, sorry. Sure.
And I think I posed this question in text to John earlier. Mm-hmm. Do you really get arrested for fixing junior league hockey?
that's the third one, right?
I know, but it just gnawing at me. I'm just, right, the more
Let's start with two.
One is timeless.
Let's sit in your noodle for a while. Then.
One, to refresh people who haven't seen one, Paul Newman leads Ragtag Bunch, and they actually said Ragtag in the third one. Leslie Nielsen said Ragtag in the third one, which is why I thought two was better. Part of it. Anyway, so
the phrase Ragtag.
I know, I was like, when I saw the cover, I was like, it's a Ragtag group, and then he said it, and I'm like, goddamn. So, first one, Paul Newman leads a group of interesting, unusual characters. They got the dirty guy, The dirty sex starved guy. You got the
Mo.
Yeah, you got the French guy, I think.
Mo was one of my favorite characters in the first one because he was just so disgusting.
Yeah. And you had the new guy, you had all these different characters, and Paul Newman, like, pretty much manipulated the whole team into thinking that they're a lot better than they were, whatever. And they started, he really needed to get asses in the seats, so they turned to goonism. And then it's like this whole, are you goon or not a goon kind of dealio. And if anything, it was a good snapshot of a blue-collar town in Pennsylvania more than anything else.
Because it was the mills were closing down, and it was really dreary. I always compare it when I'm kind of in one of my moods. The young good hockey player, his wife that was drinking and driving the van and was all, you know, I kept saying, she goes, I think I'm cracking up. I mean, that's me in my worst moments, is that lady. I identify with that lady more than
you. Just need to get a haircut and a nice dress.
I know. Put a skirt on for us.
Yeah, she does.
You just need to go get your hair. You need to get a perm and a real nice dress, and everything will be fixed.
It could be. Yeah.
As that was the lesson I took from that.
Yeah.
But like the point is that everyone learns a lesson. There's interesting characters. Paul Newman is pretty good. I mean, he's Paul Newman, and they had the Hanson brothers.
And it's so funny. I mean, it's
hilarious.
And I think that was my problem with the second one, is that it took itself seriously in a lot of spots. I mean, it really, because I mean, to me, like the Lethal Weapon beginning and the music that they played through it and the drama parts and like the flashbacks and the slow motion, the first one was like, it was a great comedy because it kept moving forward and it kept having jokes. And even though like he was manipulating them and there was kind of the sense of desperation, it didn't come across like heavy-handed and serious, and the second one just felt like it was like they were trying to really make it like, this is a serious problem, this is a serious
movie. So what happens, let's start out, okay, so we kind of talked about like the first one,
yeah,
and I wanted to bring up the Hanson brothers because they're the hockey team, and they are the connection between all three, really.
Yeah.
And I just want to say that one of the funniest movie moments ever for me in my life was the introduction of the Hanson brothers, and more specifically, spoiler alert, the point in the movie where one of the Hanson brothers shot a hockey puck up into the organ player's face. I must have rewound that VHS tape at least 10 times.
I did too when I was a kid. That's one of my favorite scenes.
It was one of the most unexpected things I had ever saw, and it was so perfect because
the editing is so quick. Yeah, then later and then there's the great line when Paul Newman goes up and rips his music up and says, "Never play Lady of Spain again," which is one of the most random lines ever in the movie.
Yeah, so that is unparalleled. That's why I think it's one of the greatest sports movies ever. But the two. What is two? What was two about? Tim or John?
I don't know.
Let me see if I can. I'll take a run at this.
It's about me.
I don't know.
All right. So
it's
you got the Chiefs.
Yeah.
What is the deal with the freaking Chiefs in that one? Good God. Basically, they're getting ready to go bank. They're on the verge of becoming irrelevant again.
Town is going to shit still.
Town's going to shit. Same story there. Their bailout this time is that this guy, Gary Busey's company's going to buy them, and it seemed like they made a big point of saying it was like an American Family Values company. So some, I guess, conservative production group is going to buy this team, and they're going to make them be like they said the Washington Nationals, but I thought the team the Globetrotters beat up was the Washington Generals.
Well, you know what? I looked that up because as soon as he said that, I'm like, that's wrong.
It's the Generals, right?
Because it was the new – no, it really was. They got that right. It was Washington. But then there was the New Jersey Generals. But the Washington Nationals, they initially were
the team that the Globetrotters looked up.
Yeah, by. Yeah.
So you're.
So I that's funny you should say, because that was my first thing too. I was like,
what? No. But so they were going to be. They wanted the Chiefs to be the losing team to the Omaha Icebreakers.
Wait, can I jump in quick on this? To me, hockey is one of those sports that does not lend to that kind of shenanigans sports wise. It didn't make any sense to me. Like, and no offense to anybody, but hockey is not that big in the United States where you could have a touring sideshow like that. People just do not care.
They'd work in Canada.
But still, this the sport itself, it's hard to do that.
You know, they could have just said the guy in Canada's buying them and they're going to tour Canada as this Harlem Globetrotter like thing, but because Canada, so they could have written that in really easy without it being a deal. And certainly not in Omaha.
Don't know, but at the time, in 2002, right, there's National Hockey League teams in Florida and Arizona and whatnot. So it's not, and trust me, I've been in Nebraska in the heart of the winter, and
It is like
a tundra. So,
and they have hockey down. They have hockey in Wichita now too. So
yeah,
they had Wichita.
Oh, hockey. And Topeka's minor league team is
Scarecrows.
But the thing was though, the thing that really kind of threw me off about that whole deal was like, okay, fine, they're going to be a touring act where they're like the Harlem Globetrotters like losing team. But the other catch was it's like no, we're going to play real games too. I'm like. That makes no sense at all.
Well, and that's the thing. Like later on, you find out that was just a ploy, and those guys not only are not that good hockey players, but they're terrible businessmen too, because they got hoodwinked pretty big on that.
I mean, who's going to think? Oh yeah, I'm going to go out and intentionally lose and look like clowns, but then we'll play real games and get scouted by the pros.
That was such a joke.
Well, and I hated how they kept taking things from the first movie and putting it into their context, with Baldwin saying that we're working on it, and then the character that was supposed to be like Mo, and like his first indication that he's supposed to be a pervert like him is he says he does the whole "does the carpet match the drapes" joke. I mean, which is like 1,000 years old. I don't even think it's in Blanche Knotts. It's that old.
But you know what? After, I mean, it's I don't want to bring. Okay, you could say it's kind of sport. It's video game. That's kind of what I liked about the Tron sequel. There's such a wide gap in between the first and the second movie that you had to kind of recycle or reintroduce some stuff to kind of get establish that connection. Now, whether or not they executed it well on or not, you know, that's up for debate.
I don't know, not the Tron part. I was going to say for this movie, I don't think there's any debate.
Well, and that's part of why I appreciated the second one better than the third one, because... Well, we'll get to the second one.
The second one made me angry watching it, to be quite honest. I was really... And it's like... It felt like it was a gigantic piece of shit. I hated the woman in it. The woman in it, like... I used to like women with short hair. I hate them now.
That lady reminded me of Susie Colbert from ESPN.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I actually had to look it up, and then I was like, was that Gretzky's wife with short hair? I don't understand. And what drove me nuts too is like there was not just her attitude that she was this tough lady, and when they were in the bus, and then they were like, she's like, ask me any hockey question and I can get it right, and then they're like, and if you lose you have to show us your boobs. I'm echoing just as I say show your
boobs. Sorry, it's a good time to echo.
But I'm like, but she didn't have any boobs. And I was like, she's so flat-chested. I'm like, but it's...
And the strong female carried over to the third one as well.
Yeah, and she had no boobs, too. And she made...
She was a teenager.
But she had a part with the guy. But the guy says... He goes, whoa. He goes, you know, it's hard for me to play goal because with you wearing that shirt, it's so distracting. I'm like... What are you talking about? It wasn't a low-cut blouse, and she was flat. I'm just... It's like, if you're going to make boob jokes, have it be a pussy.
So the Chiefs, they get bought up by this family values guy who... This is where I got confused. I mean, there's like a lot of there's a lot of weak points in the second one. I was confused in whether or not Gary Busey's company was... The family values, like,
yes,
or whether or not it was like a different company that's trying to use the influence of the family values to get ahead.
I think those guys at the end were like investors, and I think it was Gary Busey's company that was supposed to be like like a good Christian values thing. And
that's what threw me off too. So Gary Busey does not play Gary Busey in this movie. He is the most straight line, straight guy.
Very serious, yeah.
Very
yeah.
serious, and I think that's crazy. What I think that's what left like I left me wanting something more, right? Because you know Gary Busey's company, they buy these guys Harlem Globetrotters and Washington Nationals, except it's like the Omaha Icebreakers and the Chiefs, Charleston Chiefs or whoever, and like Gary Busey is like want to put on this production and family values for hockey, of all sports. And that gets set up and established, and obviously, you know, the Chiefs are going to get into trouble and be cantankerous and whatnot, and the Omaha Icebreakers are, like, the nice guy assholes, like you'd get from, like, Animal House or PCU, where it's, like, they're super nice guys, which actually, the lead, like, Harvard asshole guy, I thought he did a pretty good job. He was a pretty good dick in that movie.
Yeah, I mean, but it was in the third one. It was the same. It was that same kind of character, you know. It's like
they did a send up to hockey itself that was kind of lame. But so they get back and forth, and they actually get in trouble, and we're gonna cancel their contracts, and everyone realizes that they've been hoodwinked, and so Stephen Baldwin, the now turned Christian Stephen Baldwin.
He's Christian now?
Christian. Like I have my I'm Buddy Limbeck from Charles in Charge doing Bible Man Christian.
Buddy. Did you guys ever see him on Celebrity Fit Club?
No,
he's very unchristian like. for being Bible Man, he was a raging asshole.
So he would have felt well in with the Harvard guys in the second
movie. Yeah.
So they go back and forth, and then they find their true selves, the old time hockey style, whatever, right?
Yeah.
And
Gordy.
Oh God, the elbow in the air, Gordy. And so they fight, and then whatever, and then stuff happens, and then they like somehow change the rules at the end of one game to where it's like an actual hockey game, and like they win at the end for some reason, and Gary Busey like gets in trouble, and then like the lawyer buddy turns on him, the assistant lawyer buddy turns on him, and
which they also do in the third.
Yeah, they totally rip the
except for it's two girls this time. It's a female bitch.
So Gary Busey loses out in the end. The Charleston Chiefs like win. I don't know what they win because they kind of end it really quick. It was more of like the gag of the Hanson brothers. The Hanson brothers in the second one, I think they were just searching for money. And have you guys done research on the Hanson brothers?
I did.
No, I didn't.
Tim could fill us in on the history of that.
Well,
let's wrap up.
I know that they do personal appearances because a friend of mine was in a bar one time when they were doing Miller Lite commercials, and the Hansons, when they're getting you could get your Polaroid taken with them.
Your Polaroid.
yeah, she has a Polaroid of her with the Hansons, which is pretty cool.
So the Hansons end up winning the lottery and the biggest plot trope ever, and then they end up buying the team like nobody saw that coming.
What's Tim's research? What have you done on the Hansons, Tim?
That's the end of the second one, right? Is there anything else from like the plot of the second one that people aren't filled in with?
Well, I mean, it's a piece of shit. I mean, it's like, I was really worried, like, watching it. I was like, man, the show's going to stink Sunday because I'm just so angry about it. It puts me in a bad mood just thinking about it. And I like to think that, like, I'm usually like, yay, this is fun. But I'm like, that movie, like, the things that I wrote down, like, the girl Hansons, that was just ridiculous and stupid.
Yeah.
The Stephen Baldwin's goddamn flashback.
And then that was,
I wrote in this. That I wrote in this. Did someone tell Busey this was a drama? Because he does.
Yeah.
And then let's see. I have so many notes in here, and it's just like there's like nothing positive. It's just all awful.
Trust me, John. It's still better than I Hate You.
Yeah,
I'm going to lean on the old mantra of do not fast forwarding. You suck.
Oh no! You know what I wrote? I wrote down a note. I wrote. I know it's do not fast forward, but can I slip my wrist? That's what I wrote down on my notes.
So it's kind of a piece of shit. Both of them are kind of crappy, right? But the Hansons were the ones that really came back for the movie. I mean, they had characters that were a lot like the characters from the first movie because they wanted to, like, remind you, like, what Slapshot was about. But it was the Hansons that are, like, the cornerstone of the Slapshot movies.
They have this movie going on. There's so much time in between the first and the second where it's kind of like, I don't think that many people, anyone who watched it is not going to get a lot of those, like most people, they made some kind of obscure references, like when they were doing the pinwheel thing, when the choreographer guys, and they show the girls in the crowd, and the girl says, "I blew the last guy on the pinwheel."
Yes, that's from the first one. That's from the first
movie. The ice capades when the guy says, you know, "Hey, I fucked the third girl in the left," you know. And it's like, but no one's going to get these references. And they fall so flat on it, you know. It just doesn't make any sense. And then the fact that it's like watching a really bad cover band in some regards, you know. And if I want to like hear funny jokes, I want to hear the original funny joke. And this was just like Stephen Baldwin doing a bad seventh generation version of Paul Newman saying, we're working on it. When Paul Newman would do it, his delivery was so good.
Newman's a good actor.
Yeah. But you remember when he...
And I'll be damned if he doesn't have a delicious line of salad dressings.
You know, I would say Paul Newman right now would be a better actor than Stephen Baldwin. You could dig him up and put him in that role, and he would do a better job.
Oh.
You don't even need to reanimate him. You just stand him in the corner.
And one of the problems I had with the movie, too, is the thing that was really confusing. You know, I was confused about the other thing earlier, but the other thing I was confused about is, like, this guy, Gary Busey's company, wanted to be all family values... And
right.
They hired an obviously gay Broadway production guy to like head up the production of it. So because a lot of that also on top of that seemed like oh god, the other typical, you know, trope that you see in comedies, the stuffy right wing person is really just a hard up kind of guy, and now we're gonna have fun and loose and we're gonna get wild and crazy. And it seemed like that they were going to try to do that, too. But then it's like they threw that wrench in it. It's like, well, Captain Family Christian Values guy, like, hired an openly, obviously gay, like, production company dude to head up the whole thing. And it just, like, it didn't make any sense. At least in terms of that story, it was like, now I'm even more confused. I mean, is it, like, against the establishment right-winger? Or is it more just, like... is it just, like, a company that hired some people and then you're just being a douchebag... like, contract holder for it.
And they threw a scene in there, too, with Gary Busey talking on the phone and saying, "I want that land." Which is such a cliche thing, like, you know, and they did it in the third one, too. You know, it's all about... it's
openly about land, but...
You what now?
Oh, God, and Gary Busey! Oh, Gary Busey! It was like they propped him up to be this, like, fall guy, and it was just so ridiculously... He was not scary one bit. Not because he was trying to be serious, because in real life, I'm sure he's a very scary person. Actually, we have established that Gary Busey is, in real life, a scary person. But in this movie, it seems like that every bad thing that he did, his only answer to that was, "I'm just going to write you a check for more money." It's like, what?
Yeah.
Like, how does that solve the problem? I mean, if anything, get your own goods and rough them up or something. But no, it's like, here, I tell you what. You totally went against all my other rules. I got you under contract. Let me write you a check for $500,000, and then I think that'll make things better. And it's like, what? I don't get it. It was like, he could have had a better shot of hiring, like, Ice Capades people to have hockey sticks and play hockey than, like, try to pay off Stephen Baldwin of all people.
So here's the question. Do you think between the three of us that we could write a movie that would be better?
Yes. If we take Slapshot and make a direct sequel, maybe, like, before, like, say, like, Paul Newman died, and, like, one of the Youngbloods, or one of the guys that came up... Whoa, Youngbloods, that's a different movie.
Oh.
Anyway, that's a hockey movie, too, if I remember.
Yeah.
Wow. I just literally haven't thought about that until now. I pulled that out of my ass. And I want to thank the
people... Put it back. Put it back in there.
I want to thank the Stone Anniversary IPA and the White Castle Spiders for letting me recall that movie. Anyway... So I think we could write a direct sequel that is more of a period piece of Pennsylvania back in the day where, like, Paul Newman died and he was the owner of the team, and he left it either to, like, his illegitimate kid. Okay, wait, no, that's too lame. But, like say, some of the current players are on there, and they're struggling, and the Hansons are there, and they, like, find some other way to do better. I think we could do a better job, and if anything, it would have that late 70s, early 80s sensibility of really raunchy humor.
That's what was
in the last two movies.
That's what was missing in it, in this one, too, in the second one. There wasn't... The jokes kind of seemed like they were just put in there afterwards, but I really felt in a weird way that the movie took itself seriously.
Yeah.
They were really trying to make, like, kind of an uplifting sports film, and it was the shit. It just, I wrote a note in here, but started doing the math about the time remaining, and I just wrote, hope the credits are a half an hour long. So I was just like, oh god, there's like 15 minutes. Hopefully, like six of that is credits, because I can't. It was an endurance test.
Now there's one thing I really felt that the movie should have had. I think it's something like this.
It did. It had about an hour and a half of that.
It was more figurative.
I
think I smell a remix coming on.
So the second one, thank you, White Castle. So the second one, it was fast too. Anyway, so the second one, like, that's the end of the movie. The end of the movie, that's the only thing that bothered me. It ended so abruptly, you didn't really get a good payoff.
God.
It's like the Hansen brothers just bought it, and they're in the hot tub with the Hansen chicks, and everyone throws their elbow up for this running gag of Gordy. And it's like, that's the end of the movie. You don't know what happens to Stephen Baldwin. You don't know what happens to the quasi-bisexual lady that he's falling in love with.
You know what the best Gordy Howe reference, though, in like I think in like a popular culture, though, is on that old Simpsons episode when Bart was sending Miss Krabappel like a secret admirer in his name, and he took a card of Gordy Howe, and he put it in the picture frame, and as he puts it in the picture frame, he says, time to lace up your skates, Gordy. You're going in.
And they put his stats up at the end of the show in the credits.
Yeah. Oh, it was that. That's my favorite. That's my bit. Not the Hansons doing Gordy. Yeah.
So that's the end of the second one. Tim, you did research on the Hansons. John doesn't know this. I know it. That's what's so amazing.
All right. Let me see if this is accurate.
There's some real life drama behind the Hansen brothers, John.
All right. Let's hear it.
Now, right before the Hansons, though, I will say, according to things I looked at online, Paul Newman did say that the original Slapshot was his favorite movie that he watched and made. He said he had the most fun making it, and he enjoyed going back and watching it the most.
Man,
out of all his movies, and he made a lot of movies.
And a lot of wonderful movies.
Yeah, he said he had the most fun making it, and he enjoyed going back and watching Slapshot.
Bill Cassidy and the Sundance Kid?
God, he made so many great movies, say that's one of his favorites?
Yeah.
My god, the Cool Hand Luke where the lady washes the car. I mean,
she knows exactly what she's doing.
that movie's so amazing. God, failure to communicate.
Shaking it off, boss.
So you got the Hansen brothers, and again, from what I learned, they did the first Slapshot. The movie company wanted to give them their own little spin-off movie, and they all turned it down because they were all playing either semi-pro or professional hockey.
So they were real players. Wow.
They were legitimate players.
Now, are they brothers for real? Or there's only two of them that are brothers?
Two of them are brothers, and the third one was supposed to be their other brother, but right before the movie started, he got called up to like Edmonton or somewhere in the NHL. So he said, I'm going to go play in the NHL. I can't make a movie. And so they got a third guy who wasn't their brother to stand in for him. Wow. But the guy they got in to stand in for him also, they all three of them played professional hockey at some level and at some capacity. And I think one or two of them played in the NHL for periods of time. One of them ended up coaching a couple minor league hockey teams for several years. So they were legit hockey players. And they turned down the sequel because they all wanted to pursue their own professional hockey careers. And the toys they used in the movie were their own. They did that on their own.
Oh, wow.
Those were actually like their toy cars and racetracks and the robots and stuff they use in the second one.
But you know what? But I love those race car track things. I would kill to have some of those. My uncle used to always give my sister and I those race car tracks for Christmas. And those are I know it looks dumb, but if I had those today, I would love it. I mean, it's fun.
And last time I saw that was at, oh God, I don't want to sound too hipster. Last time I saw that was at South by Southwest.
They have a place you could play?
No, they had one of the tech companies here in town that were like, you know, sponsoring a party and whatnot, you know, which is like free beer and fun stuff. Part of what they tied into their demo was a racetrack, and they had these sensors on the cars that you could like detect speeds, times, laps, and all this other stuff. So you would race the cars like a racetrack, but then it would like real time stats would show up on a laptop, and they'd tell you, you know, this is what.
That's pretty high. But did you guys play with those when you were a kid? Did you guys?
I can never get them to work. We had this one that like went up the wall. It was
The wall crawler.
Yeah, we had one of those.
I mean, I got so excited. This is the most excited I've been all day. I'm like, the wall, the wall one, the wall crawler. Yeah.
We had that. I can never get those fuckers to work. I can never get them to work.
There is an art to do it because otherwise they just fly right off the track.
Yeah, no, I'm terrible. And it is a sport, so that counts.
It's fun. Yeah, well, that was my other thing because I wrote some notes too about just this whole topic of sports. I'm like,
yeah, I got some good stories. After we flush Slapshot 3 down the toilet, I got some good other good poo related sports stories that I have to tell you guys.
That's the greatest.
We gotta get to three because this question is bugging me.
No, okay, but Tim, okay,
wait, finish the research. Yeah, okay, I want to hear the
process because they had some problems, didn't they?
I did not get to the problems part. That's the most I heard about them. Was just that they were legitimate hockey players and they turned down opportunities to be in a sequel earlier on. So. Right,
I'm gonna risk crashing browser and fucking up our connection again.
Yeah.
Okay.
But there were some legal issues.
Well, I is it kind of like the Gallagher issues? You know how Gallagher,
where they like wanted to take ownership. Like one Hanson brother had a problem with the other Hanson brother. One like did his own thing, and then like the other guys like came in and there was some legal like action taken against each other. Oh man, where is it?
You know, I actually have the Hanson action figures that McFarlane Toys made. Did you guys know that they made this? Yeah, I have the Hansons, and I also have Bob and Doug McKenzie, too, but in my storage. That McFarlane Toys made those. But...
And Mike is looking up the
legal. As they got really quiet all of a sudden, I was like, did we just fluff our buns?
Fluff our buns.
That's my... Technical difficulties just mean, dude, someone just fluffed their buns.
Yeah.
But, the Hansons, but was it Miller Lite? Because they did commercials for a little while where they brought them back.
Yeah.
But, so Tim, you were saying, though, the sequel was supposed to be right after the first one, correct?
Well, I'm not sure if it's going to be a sequel or if it's going to, I'm assuming it'd be a sequel, but if it's going to focus on the Hanson brothers mainly, and they all had opportunities to either move up or they didn't want to abandon their hockey careers at that point. They were playing competitively.
Okay,
and
the closest thing, I thought there was some infighting and I could still be right. I don't know. But the lady who originally wrote, which was a lady, by the way, that's fun trivia.
Oh yeah. I read that too. The lady who wrote it had a brother who played for a similar team.
And the lady who wrote it, was going to stop suing, or was going to sue the Hanson brothers for making live appearances because it was characters she created in the original Slapshot movie.
Oh, that's right. And yeah, because,
But apparently they're still doing it, or I don't know if they're still doing it now.
Boy, those guys look so weird old, too. I mean, they were weird.
Wow,
they
listen to this. And it's in the New York Times, so it must be true. It's from 2010. What'd she say? She said, what they do in these shows, those are not the Hansons. I created the Hansons. The Hansons were innocent goons, not some dirty old guys in wigs. They tell dirty old man jokes. I find it offensive. Amazing. Wow. Ugh.
Now,
she added, I think they seriously diminished the value of Slapshot by these dog and pony shows they put on.
Absolutely. I agree with that wholeheartedly.
Okay, that's the third movie, though. And I think that's a good...
That's all of them.
That's, well...
the Jets 2 and 3. I mean, to me, it's like... just think about it, like... I mean, sure, like, sequels for the most part are always shittier than the first one, with the rare exceptions of, like, Empire Strikes Back and some, you know... some
Godfather 2.
Yes.
And which one?
Godfather 2 is pretty much...
Yeah, Godfather 2 is better
than
the first
one. And I'm throwing it out there, don't care, Temple of Doom was better than Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Ooh, that's... But I think they're neck and neck.
Gauntlet has been thrown.
Gauntlet.
And really, when it turned into sequels, I think The Last Crusade was the best of those.
I hate that movie. I hate The Last Crusade.
Last Crusade was awesome.
I absolutely hate that movie. I don't know why. I feel like the biggest communist.
All right, I'm gonna high elbow you into the glass.
You're gonna fluff, fluff my buns.
One more little
like necrophilia.
One more little tidbit about the original Slapshot. The girl working at the pharmacy counter is Paul Newman's daughter. They gave her a bit part, and that was like where she's like, "Oh, I'll make it." She was mixing the guy up like a painkiller or something. She's like, "I'll make it double strong."
Has that become his girlfriend, the hockey goalie at the end? Like she's in the crowd and he
waves. Yes, that's her. Yeah, same girl. She was Paul Newman's daughter.
Yeah, cool. Okay, so
there you go.
I'm starting to get really tipsy, so I'm going to get another beer.
So you're going to get another one. You're like, I thought you were going to say, so we need to speed this up or slow down. You're like, I'm getting tipsy,
no,
so
but
I'm gonna have some more.
I think I already know what Slapshot 3 is. You guys start in on the plot of Slapshot 3.
On the 3. Do we have to start it on the plot?
Do we have to? please, no, don't make me.
I didn't have a big problem with 3. I mean, 3 was a piece of junk, but
3
I knew
was,
gonna
3 was easier for me to watch.
Yeah, I zipped right through 3. I didn't like
it,
but I got right through it. So
right. The second one made me angry. Okay, so I'm just gonna be honest with all intentional. You know, hopefully this doesn't incriminate me too much. But so for 2, I wanted to make sure I took notes, and for some reason, I had this feeling that I was gonna enjoy it more than I did. So I wanted to be, how should I say this, not elevated. Mm-hmm. So I didn't get elevated. So the third one, I thought, this is really bad. So I started it, and I was like, okay, this isn't as bad as number 2. But then at the end, it got towards the last 20 minutes or half hour, and I just said, okay, I'm going to have to do something about this. So I watched the last half hour, and I was watching it, and I was leaning very strangely with my hand on my head going, oh, come on, hurry up.
All right, I'm back. How far did you guys get?
No, I just, yeah, just told about my state of watching the end of the third one, that I was a tad faded for the last part of it, and I couldn't help it.
That movie was absolutely terrible.
I think the second one's worse. The third one, I thought
the third one's worse.
Really?
I believe we are splitting hairs at this point.
That's like, true. No.
This piece of shit smells worse than this piece of shit.
This
they both stink.
I don't know if it's worthy of the lengthy debate.
You what?
The lengthy debate is not warranted for this. They can both suck.
This is the kind of thing that friendships are ruined over.
No, Slapshot 3 sucked more.
So Slapshot 3, yeah, Slapshot 3. Some real estate developer buys everything up, pushes Leslie Nielsen into agreeing to some shit, and then the boys home. There's a boys home there in the real estate's like eyes, but then they had like hard times. We find out that the Hanson brothers grew up there, and then like the guy who has the least amount of emotion or acting emotion whatsoever is leading these ragtag group of kids, and they join a hockey league, not unlike Dodgeball the movie, to try to say, get public. They join a hockey tournament or junior hockey league to get public perception turned to their favor on some city council vote to not tear down their stuff.
Here's my question: in what fucking alternative universe do things like Harlem Globetrotter hockey and junior hockey leagues changing perception and political ideas, where does that fucking exist?
It doesn't. That's what still makes me so angry about it.
It's just, I mean,
thousands of boys exist anymore. You know, where these kids just all live in a house and nobody's going to bother to see if there's an adult caretaker. There's Lima in case it, but nobody.
See, it's not like actual breaking the law. It's all in the guise of public perception, and that's what frustrates me so much. It's like, oh, you know, we're going to go through all this trouble to do all this stuff just to get the camera and the media turned to our favor. I mean, is that what it's come down to in this century? Is that what's more important? Is that make sure you get a more favorable news item, a news bug, a news bit? And it's just like this movie kind of like carries that forward. And you take both of them combined to the first Slapshot, and you're like, Paul Newman and the original Hanson brothers would high elbow these movies into the fucking oblivion.
The original Hanson brothers are in this, and in all of these.
Oh, and that's what makes it even more worse, because the original Hanson brothers, like, they start out as, like, weak and limp, like the people who wrote this movie. And they're all, like, zen, and they don't have the fighting and drinking ways anymore. And then all of a sudden, it's like, they're, like, zen, and it's supposed to be comedic, but it's not funny. It wasn't funny to me. And, like, They agree with all their millions that they still have left over from the lottery to, like, buy the kids equipment to, like, go forward and do this other stupid stuff. And it's like they're wearing these thin, like, Buddha stupid thingies. And I guess what they're trying to set up is that, you know, oh, even the Hansons have lost their way, but they're going to find themselves for the end of the movie, not unlike some of these other kids. And actually, like, the town itself, because Charleston was kind of, like, getting taken over by this, like, Zen, I'll say it. Sorry, John. The Zen California kind of.
I'm not offended by that.
And it's like it's invading itself into this hard nosed blue collar Pennsylvania town, and we all find out toward the end of the movie. It's like, oh, okay, so, like, they finally, like, they get to be hard asses themselves, and with the help of the Hanson sons. They fight off and they win at the win. They win at the end, pretty much. Oh, but there's so many problems I have with this movie.
Okay, so here's the other question. That woman, she talked about real estate and buying things, but yet there was, like, a political slant. Was she running to overthrow Leslie Nielsen?
She wanted that town to cease to exist. She was buying out the town, not
just,
like,
she wanted to rename it to something.
But they kept talking about her approval ratings going through the roof, and they were increasing with the percentage.
Yeah, that's just called crap writing.
it's another thing that was carried over from the second
one. And here's the pervy moment. So, did you guys find her kind of sexy?
A little bit, yeah.
The real
She's redheaded, right?
Yeah.
That's why I'm
like the boss of Alcoholics, Alice. Tim, I'm talking to you.
What is that again?
Alice, the boss and Workaholics.
Yeah.
Because Tim realized there, he came up with this hypothesis that I like kind of mean women.
If they look like they got a bad attitude, John is like, ooh.
And I don't know why, because I like to think of myself as a pleasant man.
Why'd you bring that poor attitude over here?
Yeah. Why don't you come chastise me?
Why don't you sit your poor attitude on this?
My face. I, you know what one of my favorite lines in a movie is, and this is so silly and pervy, but in this Cheech and Chong movie, when Cheech pulls up to this, and he's telling this woman, he goes, hey, why don't you come over here and have a seat? Here, I'll clear a space off for you. And he just starts rubbing his nose.
That's like in Super Troopers, where, like, Jay, Indian guy, was like, hey, who wants a mustache, right?
Yeah. Well, then that also goes back to Mask, where, what's his name?
Sam Elliott.
Sam Elliott has the best t-shirt ever invented, where it says, mustache rides 5 cents.
a callback to our previous Epidos, the Oak Ridge boys were playing the State Fair this year.
Oh, man. You should have gotten one of those sleep shirts.
this redheaded lady is like, I'm a hard ass, and, like, these kids, and then it's like,
I hated when they would show her in the booth, like, cheering, like, the team on, and she'd be like, put an elbow in his throat, do this, kick him in the groin, and it was so forced, and it
you know what I hated? I hated the announcer's kid. I hated that kid so much.
I laughed a couple of times.
I kind of laughed at some of his bits.
He's a Garaputo, Tim.
I know.
No, that kid reminded me of the kid that was in that skit in the underground comedy movie of Dawn of the Dead. It was like he was just kind of there, and he was just kind of laughing at everything, and he didn't really have any lines. He was just kind of like looking at stuff. And that's what that reminded me of. Damn it. Slapshot 3 is like the underground comedy movie.
No.
Oh, yeah. That's a strong.
I'm throwing it down.
There has to be so bad.
Look at what they did to Leslie Nielsen. Oh my God, the guy could barely stand up. I mean, okay, so the guy was just reading off a cue card. He wasn't cognizant. He wasn't coherent. He was like the dead lady.
He was on a vision quest, man.
He was. Yeah, the man of that.
They wrote him out of the movie to say that he was on a vision quest, that he was gone. Which didn't make any sense because his character wasn't a hippie kind of guy at all.
No.
He was a very conservative mayor.
Why would he deliver his lines, though?
He had terrible lines, and they're all written on cue cards that you could obviously very plainly see that he was reading off of while they were filming him. They literally just propped him up and say, "Start talking, old man." And that bothered me so much. Oh!
But you know what was great, though? The one positive spin on Leslie Nielsen in that movie, and besides that, because that amazing old picture of him from like the Peyton Place days on that banner that said like Charleston's on the up or something like that.
Yeah.
Remember in the arena when he
Town on the Rise or something.
Yeah, Town on the Rise, and it had that great picture of Leslie Nielsen as a young that was awesome.
But that only gives you the contrast, right? It's like it makes you remember if you've seen any Leslie Nielsen stuff before this of how great he was, and then you see him there, you know, where he's just like at the end of the movie where he gives his pep talk, you obviously could see that he was on a soundstage somewhere else with, like, the important emotionless character teenage guy and one other person, and then they cut to the locker room where it's obviously different lighting, different areas, different everything. And you realize the guy couldn't even make a trip out to a fucking locker room. He's so decrepit and dead. And it's just like, he got paid. He did work, but oh my God, I died a little bit on the inside seeing that happen. I was just like, Leslie!
One of the other problems I had... One of the other problems I had with the movie is... So first of all, when they showed the little Charleston downtown, it looked kind of nice to me. You know, it was kind of like, oh, that's kind of quaint. But what I didn't understand is like, okay, I understand that this twat is coming in and she's buying everything and she's... but it was good. Like, the town was failing. Like their whole cause and what they were fighting, like Leslie Nielsen is the mayor and everything, they were basically fighting progress and creating jobs for the people who were in the town. Because really, I don't think you can, you know, totally eradicate a whole town, you know. And so she was like, I want this, and I want to build this on their property. And part of it was kind of like, you know, it was like I was telling, like Tim and I were talking earlier this week about sometimes you hear ideas that are radical and you go, it's not that bad of an idea, really, you know. And for the whole premise of the movie, I was just kind of like, well, maybe the town does need to have somebody come in and buy up everything and put some stuff in there. But yeah, it just the whole thing was, and the other thing, like, they kind of made that goalie who was the main villain for the hoity-toity team.
Yeah.
Oh,
I didn't think, like, he started out where he wasn't that big of a prick. Like, when he talked to the girl, I thought he was somewhat nice.
Well, and he sealed the deal. Unlike the emotionalist, like, oh, I hated that guy. He was like an emotionalist young Christian Slater.
He looked like a young Cary Elwes, too.
And he had no facial expressions. He had no emotive, like, activity. Everything that he said, he had the same expression for. It drove me bonkers.
Yeah. And you know what? There was the one part that did make me kind of laugh was when they put that tweaker kid in the hide-a-bed.
Yeah, it was pretty funny.
That was kind of funny. Because
he looked like one of the Bad News Bears, and that's what I really appreciated.
Yeah, he's kind of a lupus, kind of a throwback.
Yeah, I like that a lot.
He was, I think, I'm going to nominate him as the star of the movie.
The tweaker, huh?
Yeah.
I mean, okay, so like lead emotionless Slater guy and dickhead Wolves Team Wolf ripoff guy was both had a moment with one of the other bigger problems I had in this movie. And that is just by having Mark Messier in there as the NHL representative.
Oh, God, that sucked.
It's like they, even when they fought each other, they both, like, were a team and they gave respect to, like, hockey. And it was like, what kind of send-up are you giving, really?
Bull crap. So that's,
and going. Even Mark Messier in the booth, I mean, even the stupid one-liners between it, like, hey, Dad, you did this and you messed up, announcer Dad. They're like, oh, you sucked on the skates, son. And it, like, Mark Messier was in the middle. It was so terrible. It was so forced. It was so contrite. I hated it. I hated all of it.
Now, this brings me to a question.
Here we go. Here it goes.
What? There cannot possibly be laws against fixing Junior League hockey.
Yeah. Oh, what's even greater is that the chick that turned on her boss, not unlike the guy that showed on the dude on Gary Busey.
Yeah,
it's like the same thing carried over. It's like if you're one of the poor, unfortunate fools like us three who have seen all three slap shots, you kind of knew that this was telegraphed. This was more telegraphed than a Met Castle pass. I was like, oh wow,
zing,
hey-o.
Hi-o.
So it's like you knew the lady was, and they even did a terrible job with that. The guy, the Christian Slater guy, was, like, hanging out with her. You know, he's like, why are you doing it? He's like, I'm just doing it for the money. It was, like, halfway into the movie. There was no suspense. There was no drama. It's like, you kind of knew she was going to turn anyway, and she ended up doing it. And it's just like, yeah, whatever.
Who is, if you're going to go give a bribe to somebody, regardless if it's actually against the law or not.
Don't get filmed with a cell phone camera.
Maybe you should, you know, pay attention to that dude in the side with the camcorder.
Well, maybe this is my theory, and this is where I'm trying to save a piece of shit. Maybe that girl wore glasses and she wore spy glasses. I was at the spy shop a couple weekends ago in San Francisco, and they had spy glasses that don't.
That's that is, you know, just, that I, is too intelligent for this.
You know what I say to
check,
that?
Check, is this thing on? Hello.
No, this, my only opinion on that is.
Check. I'll take it.
Oh man,
I deserve that.
So I mean,
spy glasses.
I guess.
I'm sorry. I'm trying to bring some logic into this.
And I guess that's the difference. That's the difference between me and you, John. I think you had a problem with how the second one, like, tried to be so much like the first one and be serious, and I had a problem with the third one trying to, like, be too much like what the bad stuff from the second one was.
Right.
And I think I appreciated more of it trying to do a send up to the first movie than the second one. I think that's where we differ. I don't know, Tim. What did you think was better?
If you go by watchability, I zipped right through three, so that tells me that two was inherently worse. But if you go by the theory that a copy of a copy is a lesser, then three would be worse.
Yeah.
And again, I think we're splitting hairs here. They can both
we're splitting
suck.
Turds.
They
yeah,
can both.
I mean, we're cutting the turds up with their pee on this one. That's an expression copyrighted by me. You guys feel free to use it.
It's a new T-shirt.
That's right. Cutting up the turd with my pee.
Oh man, we have such an amazing line of T-shirts that are going to be coming out.
We should definitely have a merch shop.
Yeah, December the fart. What was it?
December.
Decemberist of farting.
I guess we can all agree that the two sequels are nowhere near the first movie.
No, I don't think they should
be associated with them at all, but.
Yeah. So it's all sports related, and somehow we picked hockey, which none of us. Have you guys played hockey at all?
No. Street hockey. I just played for the first time. My neighbor lives across the street, is from Canada, and is a big Leafs fan, which I totally.
Oh, dude, did you ask him about the Slapshot movies?
Yeah, he loves the first one, and I don't think he's seen the second or third. He's a
That's
really
like everybody
cool
guy. Else. That's like everybody. Okay, all right, that's cool.
He's, and it's interesting because I was talking to him. He came over this week and helped with some computer problems and stuff. And he was telling it's so I enjoy hockey. I'm definitely a baseball guy, but it's fun to go watch hockey with him because he's crazy about hockey the way we are about football. and baseball and our stuff, and it's a whole different culture. And he was telling me how, like, the new NHL game coming out is definitely just like how it is here when the Madden game comes out, where it's just in Canada, it's that's the best-selling game. And, like, he gets the Canadian channels on his satellite, which is really cool to, like, watch it over there because their shows are different. And, you know, Russell Peters, the comedian?
Yeah.
The Indian guy, he's a humongous star in Canada. And he's been on this really long-running sitcom where he plays a hockey player. And Mike was telling me, he goes, it's really funny. It's really good. And it's just about to wrap up, and, you know, as a show. But it... Yeah, I've learned a little bit of it, but I never played. I've played street hockey with him a little bit, and it's fun. It's a lot of fun. But he was, you know, that's just what they grew up with this gang. But yeah, he loves the first left. I need to ask him if he's seen the second and third. I'll have to.
And then immediately tell him not to watch them.
Yeah, just tell him, please, Mike. To,
well,
to
you watch know, them. You know what's amazingly like funny about Kansas City is that Sporting Kansas City is probably the most popular team in that town now.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, the soccer team is the most popular team because they actually, you know, compete.
Yeah.
Well, and it was kind of like I kind of alluded to just a second ago that with Mike, why I find I like him too is that he's a Leafs fan, and the Leafs are kind of like the Chiefs and the Royals in that sense. So he's kind of like he's been born into the suffering of sporting teams like we three have been. And then today when I was listening to the game, I put my head down at one point. And Chrissy's like, look, you don't live there anymore. She was like, you don't have to be a Chiefs fan anymore. And I'm like, no, I have to. I was born into it. Unfortunately, it's like being born into a cult.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's why it's like...
much time already.
You if know. You're born into that region, then you kind of end up being a fan of the teams that you grew up with, right?
It's disingenuous to jump ship and try to go to a better team.
Yeah.
Like, if I wanted, like, I could say, oh, no, I don't want... I'm a Cowboys fan now.
You know, I kind of have a problem with those people too. Like,
I hate them. I think they're traitors.
You don't get a bad team.
No.
If you're a fan of a good team, and then you're like, I think if you actually pack up and physically move to another area,
you're a team of that.
I will give you a pass because you've.
I just, mean.
Yeah, like you could if you move there, which I don't think you are a fan of the 49ers.
Well, I mean, I don't have a
if
problem.
You moved there and you're like, you suddenly got into the 49ers like big time. And you're like, I really like the 49ers, and you start following them. You get to be a fan. Just like the Giants, you like the Giants. Yeah.
When I was a kid, I liked the Giants. But that was when I wanted to bring this up too because we're kind of all in things sporting. But when I was a kid, certain baseball cards, like certain pictures. I don't know if did you guys get baseball and football cards and stuff like that?
Oh man, dude, I have a trove of sports related stuff for a kid. I think the statute of limitation is out. I stole the hell out of cards when I was a kid.
Really?
Yeah.
Where from? Like a dime store? Oh my god, I just totally dated myself.
Do you want to go sit on the divan for a minute?
Yeah, I'm gonna go to my parlor.
No, dude, I like...
Jesus Christ, the dive store.
I think 15, 20 years ago, I think I was solely responsible for the fact that they put baseball cards in the glass cases now.
At which store?
It was like a Safeway or Piggly Wiggly. I don't remember.
I thought Piggly Wiggly was in the South.
No, there's some Piggly Wiggly's up in Kansas City.
Really? I didn't know. Well, I grew up more in Western Kansas.
But no, I would always do the NFL, the football cards, the pro whatever. I forgot what it was. Yeah. But I would always lift a couple cards into my jacket and take them home.
I was so scared to shop. I never would have shopped.
That's the only thing I could take because it fit into my pockets awesomely. And
you never got caught, did you?
What? No, never. My little brother kind of ratted me out to my folks once or twice, but after that it was like whatever.
Yeah, but what I was kind of alluding to with baseball card talk was that there were certain cards that I would really like the picture or the colors or the graphics or something, and I would kind of become a fan of like that team or that player, and I'm old enough, and you I guess you know we're all kind of roughly the same age, but.
No, you're an old fart, dude. I'm young.
Yeah. Hey, I'm not in my 40s yet. But, but you know, because when we were kids, you didn't get to see a lot of these teams and these players until the All-Star game, really.
You saw the local game, you saw like the Royals.
Yeah,
you didn't see all the Royals either. You only saw the games they chose to televise.
Yeah, yeah, and there weren't as many channels and games. And there, I mean, but one of the cards was, and I found it because when I brought a whole bunch of stuff back from Kansas the last time when I was there, and it's the full circle where it was. I like this card because I like this guy looks really cool, and it was Dwayne Kuiper from the San Francisco Giants, who is now their announcer, and they have Kruk and Kuiper, their announcers, and they're hilarious. You guys would love listening to games when these two guys call them. So I always kind of thought, I think I kind of like the Giants as one of my national teams, you know? And so then, you know, flashback a million years later, and I'm living here, I'm like, I feel like it's okay to like the Giants.
I think there's circumstances where you get to have the other team, but there are people who don't move or do anything else, and they're like, well, I'm just going to pick whoever the hot team is, and I'll just say,
yeah. Yeah. Well, Jeremy Wyatt had a really good point when we were at the game, because Tim and the last Chiefs game I was at when they beat the Steelers a few years ago, and Jeremy Wyatt was talking about how, like, what a bunch of chumps a lot of people in that area were buying Steelers stuff, and he said, you know, 6-7 years ago, you couldn't buy a New England Patriots jersey out in the Midwest, you know, and it just turns into this bandwagon thing, you know, yeah. And it's gross. I don't understand why people do that. I mean, I appreciate good play from people. I mean, even I hate the Yankees, but you know, if someone makes a good play is a good play. But that doesn't mean I'm gonna, you know, jump aboard.
Yeah.
That's cards, right? Did you guys play any sports as a kid?
I did.
I played many poorly.
Really?
So did I. I really didn't get up to speed until I started playing football. But that's because I was a really fat kid with asthma, so I was pretty good on offensive line.
Really? So, Tim, did you play football?
I did, and then I realized that the other people could hit you in the face, and so I said I don't want to do that anymore.
Yeah. So
basically, I figured out, one, I wasn't that good at sports. Two, I really didn't like getting hit. And then three, I was still not that good at sports even as I got old. I thought, oh, I'll get better. And I never got better. And so I was like, well, I already get ridiculed enough just being kind of a weird kid. I don't need to also suck at a sport in front of everyone. So I
have been at a certain point. Consider yourself athletic, Hokie?
Yeah, sure. I started in high school football, but I was still more fat than muscular. I'm kind of in the in between right now, but I consider myself athletic.
Yeah,
I gave up golf for that reason, Tim. I never got any better at golf, and I had these really lame ass cheap clubs. And like in high school for about 2 years, I think it was a symptom of being at a Catholic high school.
I take it back. I was good at one sport. I was good.
Masturbating isn't a sport, Tim.
Well, two sports and a half. I was good at volleyball.
Oh, and, really?
But you go find me a male volleyball team in high school. Doesn't get played by the fellas.
Sweet Valley High, maybe?
I would have been really good at ultimate
that's
frisbee.
That's a sexy school.
John, what did you play? What sports did you play as a kid?
I never played organized football. Really. I was a soccer player, surprisingly, from like a really young age, and then I retired at the ripe old age of, I want to say, 13 or 14.
Did they retire your jersey?
They hung my jersey. They, you know what, that part did make me kind of stick.
That was kind of funny. That was kind of funny in Slapshot 3.
In Slapshot 3, when they retired the jerseys and they hung them up on that like kind of scaffolding thing, that did make me titter.
Did they retire a tie at all during your soccer career?
You know, it's funny. I've been thinking a lot about this story, and I think that I definitely want to talk to my sister because my sister remembers it more vividly. But I also feel kind of bad because my dad, like, I talked to him the other day, and like one of the first things he said to me, he goes, "So what's this Gonzo guy's thing?"
Uh-oh.
Yeah. and I've listened to the past episodes, and I don't think I've thrown him under the bus or said anything.
No,
I love my dad more than anything.
You know, and I'm gonna say that I think if anything, I think we kind of affectionately refer to our fathers a lot more in these episodes.
Yeah.
I think it's more of a send up. I think it's more of a send up to our upgrading, and especially our dads, and about how.
I think we've kind of
remember that story though.
Yeah, we've kind of inherited their toilet humor. I mean, really.
Yeah. Oh. but I was thinking of like, man, I don't want to make him mad, you know, and like, cause there's two really huge incidents in my life. Well, there's several of them. Actually, there's a lot of them, but there's the infamous tie stomping story. That I think that you got that recorded even originally when we were just talking one time.
Yeah,
on the phone.
I might have to go find that. But
the other story, and I don't think I've ever told you guys this, is the notorious. There's my dad. At one time, my whole family played soccer. My mom, my dad, and my sister. My sister's like 2.5 years older than I am, and so when we had games like every week, and we played at Soccer West, which I don't know if it's still in Wichita, Tim.
I don't think so.
But it had asbestos in the roof, like up in the top, and they didn't really know that much at the time that asbestos was bad. And if someone would hit the ball up too high and it would hit the chicken wire, this nice powdery dust would come down. So I'm probably going to die someday from all my time playing at Soccer West. And that was indoor soccer. That wasn't outdoor. So just to clarify. But there's two stories. My dad was kind of intense. He wasn't a great player. My dad's really tall and skinny. And I was a kid, and I remember being in the corner, and I remember him drilling a shot into me as hard as he could, and it hit me right in my young nuts. It somehow hit kind of like my nuts and my stomach, so it knocked the wind out of me, and it hit me in the nuts, just as I was like... Just to be at that age when getting hit in the nuts actually hurt, you know, and my mom was so mad at him, and my dad's phrase that he said was, "It was a pass." It was a pass that was probably going about 50, 60 miles an hour, and it obliterated me. And then he could never kind of like go light on anything. And so, you know, in indoor soccer, the goals are sunken in, you know, and so my sister never played goal or anything, and he cranked a shot off as hard as he could, and it hit the over her head, and it hit into the back, and then hit her in the back of the head, and she almost did a front flip. But we all had those giant 80s windshield glasses, and it just exploded her glasses. and it knocked her loopy, and my mom just used to just be like, oh god damn it, you know. But yeah, he never took it easy on us, but he was a very intense, and my mom, her team, a lot of the times the women would be like, your husband's not going to come to the game, is he? Because he had that hockey temper, you know, that he just wanted. And I remember as a kid, I was just a bundle of nerves. I mean, I had so much anxiety playing, because I knew if I played like shit or had a bad game that, you know, I was going to be in trouble. Cause I had a game when I played goal in indoor, or no, I had a penalty kick. I wasn't playing goal. I had a penalty kick, and the kid kept coming off the line, which you're not supposed to do, you know? And so they kept giving me the re-kicks, and I must've missed that thing like 6-7 times. And I knew that I was like, I'm going to get an ass chewing of, you know, epic proportions. And I did. And then we got home after playing the game, after I get chewed out on the half an hour drive home, and then I had to go in the backyard and do penalty kicks for I don't know how. So when my team was done with the funding and everything, my dad said if I didn't want to play anymore, it was okay, and I was like, I was so relieved. I was just like, I'm so done with this. But yeah, I've coached a little bit, but yeah, I mainly just did soccer, and I mean, I liked playing baseball and stuff with everybody else, but did you guys play baseball at all?
I did. I played baseball. I played like 1 year of real, like, honest to God, like, pitch baseball.
I'm gonna get another beer because I'm...
Uh-oh.
I'm spectating, so here, give me
three
seconds.
I played like 1 year of kid pitch baseball, yeah. And I believe... they made me the catcher.
Ooh,
and I had no business being the catcher because I did not understand the game well enough to know what to do. I thought I just caught the ball.
Yeah.
The idea that the catcher is kind of like the diamond general kind of guy who's kind of keeping an eye on things and
looking around. But even the games, though, they expected you to kind of like call a game and watch the run.
That phrase never used. They really just basically put me back there because I think, one, we had a small team, and two, they just needed somebody to stand back there. And the real pitch about it was, and I knew it was bad, I couldn't catch the ball as a catcher.
Oh.
Now, partially, I also do pin it on. I'm catching, like, another kid pitching it. So it's not like they're zipping right in there, like, perfect.
Okay, so I'm back.
It's just a backstop. The ball would hit me in the face, hit me in the glove, and I would never, ever catch it.
But you got to wear the sweet gear, though.
Did you play left out standing in the field?
And you stand up and throw the mask up, like, when something's actually going on, which rarely happened.
And you're a catcher?
Yeah, when you were getting a beer, we found out that he was a regular Thurman Munson.
Did you have a lowered catcher's mitt?
Which, by the way, I do have an update on that if anyone is.
we'll get to that soon enough.
I just remember sometimes like there'd be a play in the field, and it's one of those things, somebody's coming around, and I would throw the mask up to kind of see what was going on. Yeah. Or I'd have the ball or whatever happened, like somebody stealing a base or somebody who knew way more about baseball than me. Right. And I was like, they're like, why didn't you throw it there? I was like, I have no idea where to throw the damn ball. I'm just catching it. And that was my last year of baseball. So.
But that's pretty. That's awesome. Did anyone ever blow you up at the plate? Did you ever have a play at the plate?
I think somebody came in and I got in the way, and I don't know. That probably happened. That I probably got run over, and I don't know that I would have held onto the ball. But I think that was the same year that the only time I got on base was, and I got pegged right in the ear hole of my bat helmet.
Ooh.
I was laying across the. I just woke. I kind of like all of a sudden was laying across home plate, looking up, and then my ear is ringing, and then my coach is standing over me going, take your base, go to first. I'm like,
was your coach a dick? Was your coach a dickhead?
I don't think he was. I don't remember him being a major dick, but he's like, you're all right, just go to first. And I'm like, what? Okay. You know, burning it in my super speed was needed on base, evidently.
Oh, man. I love baseball, but I didn't really – I don't know why I never got to play. I was playing soccer, but – I got into baseball, and Johnny Bench was my favorite baseball player, and so I wanted to get the Johnny Bench, you know, catcher's mitt, not a lower catcher's mitt, but and I ended up getting the Carlton Fisk catcher's mitt, which I don't know if you guys know like why that is. Like, that's like saying, you know, I want to join the church, the Catholic Church, and then you end up going worshiping the devil, because. Because Carlton Fisk in the World Series was the one who hit the home run that sent it to the next game. You know, the foul. Remember when he's doing the dancing?
Yeah.
He was the Red Sox catcher at that time. And, you know, I was like, that's like where using the enemy's glove. But it was a good glove. But, yeah, I wanted to be a catcher. And I went to a garage sale and actually got, I don't know how much it was. But I ended up buying, like, shin guards and the chest and the mask and all that. And I didn't even play on a team. I would catch my dad, pretty much. Or I would try to get people to play with me, because I grew up in a neighborhood of, like, there were just all girls. There were hardly any boys. So I had always had a, bribe them to, like, to play. Like, and I was that way, too, because, like, I would just go out and just throw the ball up on the roof and let it roll down, and I would catch it, like, this a pop fly. And then, like, ping pong, like, no one would ever play with me, so I would have to, like, pull it up one edge of the ping pong table and just hit it.
Oh, yeah.
So that's kind of a peek into my psyche, too, probably why I'm so weird. I just want to be alone.
Oh, man. So my playing career is mostly football. But
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I'm a big guy. So, and I had asthma when I was a kid, but like before
did
I did football.
Have you grown out of it?
What?
Have you grown out of it with age? Because I did.
Like, mostly. Yeah. Usually when I either get really sick or there's plenty of dander around, it'll flare back up, but it's nothing as serious as it used to be. But, like, I started out, I played soccer in kindergarten with the Capri Sun and the orange slices at halftime. and I don't remember anything except for the Capri Sun and the orange slices.
I love, by the way, how you say Capri Sun.
It's Capri Sun.
It's like... I don't know why, but I love
orange slices and Vest Cola.
Oh yeah, we had Shasta.
Well, no, depending on whose parent was bringing the stuff, because you either got Vest or you got Shasta because it was so dirt cheap.
Guess who got to bring the treats to soccer for Alex's game last week? It was me. It was Rice Krispie treats and water for your after game, and then I had orange slices and watermelon slices for halftime. it's the circle of life. Now I'm
in Bartles and James.
I soaked it in booze.
Thanks for your support.
Yeah. Yeah, wine coolers for the kids at halftime.
Yeah, second half really loose.
Yeah, they were good.
So I did that for a year and I quit because it sucked. And I did softball in the first grade, but they put me left out standing in the field.
Left field?
Yeah, or I don't remember where the hell I was, but I was terrible at it.
I got put in the outfield a lot.
I couldn't hit the ball for crap, and I think I was in outfield because I had no ability whatsoever. I just remember it sucked. That's all I remember. So I quit that too.
I didn't play, but it's funny because like since I've moved out here, I've got some people I play with. And like I didn't actually become a decent baseball player until I was in my, you know, my late 30s now. It's like now it's like I'm pretty competent. You know, I'm actually somewhat good. It's I the last year and a half I taught myself how to switch it so I could hit from the left side now too. And you know, I just broke my first bat in a batting cage, you know. So I've kind of made some leaps and bounds, but I don't. And sometimes I get asked the question by a certain someone is like, "Why are you doing this? What are you trying to do? You don't even play in a team." I'm like,
"That's all right."
I think part of it is I got stuck
on you admitting being a switch hitter.
Yeah, that's fine. You know, but we already talked because Tim. Remember, we were talking about what were we talking about when I was saying that a woman was good looking. Well, I guess we can't really say all that, but I was saying that about this woman that if she was good looking enough, that if she had a wiener, that I would probably just kind of be like, I can work around it.
We can't go into the context of that conversation. Basically, if John met a nice enough girl that had male equipment, he'd have to think about it.
On top of that, I like to joke around because I'm quite the comedic guy, and I always make a joke with Kelly. It's like, Kelly, if you ever had a dick, I would totally suck it.
Yeah, I actually heard you say that.
Now she's gonna hear it because she.
No, he said it to her in front of me and probably Rebecca's too.
Baby, if you ever had a dick, I would totally suck it.
Now, how much truth is really to that?
Fortunately, I haven't been able to find out yet. So.
Say there was some Chernobyl accident.
Yes. Somehow, and suddenly, Chernobyl floated itself to Austin, Texas.
Right. And then she woke up. And I'm not saying like a big, overpowering one. I'm just saying a moderately sized
Somewhat of a cashew, maybe.
No, that's just like, that's insulting. she'd have a nicer one than that. Now, come on, let's be nice. What would you do?
I don't know. I would probably just suck it. I'd be like, well, you know, I said it before, you know, man, my word, gotta own up now.
Talk the talk. I probably don't tell you guys this enough, but you're good. And Tim, I know you would.
Is that good or bad?
No, it's because you're a good guy. You guys are like the examples of you know, good stand up kind of guys.
Let's flip it around, right?
Okay. Oh, remember this? You're talking to Lowball Barry. Remember?
No. What I'm saying, like, what if each of you guys woke up with a vagina, right?
Oh, dare to dream.
but you'd also have to get all that other stuff with it, though, right?
But have both?
Well, like, you know, having that having the big red soda every.
Oh, that! Oh man, I would be the worst. I already have that. I haven't nailed that. God, you guys want to hear? This is so embarrassing. Like, and I know, like, one of my buddies at work now downloads this. It's been really embarrassing, doubly for me, but. I literally have, like, I swear, I have, like, a man time where I just, like, I just do not feel good, and just, like, everything makes me upset and bothers me. I had part of it yesterday. I just sat on the step in the garage, like, where all the cats were, and I was just like, oh, God, I'm just so, it's like, what is wrong with me? Nothing had happened. I was just like, oh.
You didn't, like, break out crying, did you?
I missed it up. I will totally admit. I was sitting there just kind of like...
Then he killed four cats.
Yeah.
No, I didn't.
He started his own Chinese restaurant chain.
But I made $20.
Hey, that's a good thing. I like your man time, sir. It's profit.
Yeah, it's profit inducing. So. I get shit done.
Oh, man. So, closing out the transvestite talk.
Sorry. I'm sorry. But yeah.
No, okay, I took a break for a year, and then I played football. And that's all I did.
You dedicated yourself to football, like in high school? Like, you were like, were you serious about, like, I'm going to get really good at this? And
it was the only thing I could do. So I was like, I'm going to play football because I played it since the third grade. And it's really fun when you win and it sucks when you lose. But it was a good time. It was.
Well, let me ask you, what was your greatest accomplishment as a football player?
Oh, personally or as a team?
Both.
Okay, as a team, it definitely had to be middle school, because our middle school, like, slash late, like, 6th, 7th, 8th grade team went undefeated for 3 straight years in a row, and we were coached by a guy who used to coach Cheyenne Mission South High School, and he coached us. He owned a transmission joint.
He owned a what?
So transmission, not transvestite.
I thought he said transvestite joint. I was and circle is complete again.
No, he owned a transmission joint. And, like, our defensive coach was a guy who actually used to play on the defensive line for the St. Louis Rams. And he drove a Budweiser truck now at the time. And we went undefeated for 3 years. It was amazing.
That's awesome.
And but it, as personally as a player,
yeah,
I didn't have a lot of great games. There's one time I remember. It was like a goal line stand, and they were gonna run right behind me, and I just knew when I got set before the play got snapped that the guy in front of me, I was gonna totally blow off the line. There's no greater feeling than when you get set for a play that you know the guy across you, you're gonna totally destroy. And that only happened to me once in my life. And I did. They snapped the ball, and I beat the hell out of this guy, and we scored a touchdown. That was really nice.
Yeah. You know, that's kind of probably how, like, every lineman feels when they line up against the Chiefs every single game.
Yes. So that's about it. But middle school was definitely the best in football for me. I think high school football ended up being kind of a joke. I got duped into going into wrestling for offensive line because it was pretty much the guy who was the head wrestling coach, like, was pretty much like, he was the offensive line coach, and he's like, listen, if you ever want to start offensive line, you're going to wrestle. And I was well, the gauntlet's been thrown. So I had some ill wills toward that.
So how long did you play in high school?
I played the whole 4 years.
So you knew Tim in high school?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but you didn't really, you guys didn't really hang out, though.
Not until maybe junior year, you started.
So Hokie was one of those guys that on Fridays during the rally was wearing his jersey on game day.
Yeah, yeah.
And you were walking around with your jersey on, Hokie, and Tim was just looking at you going, like, what a dick.
I didn't think he would know, because I didn't have the inclination, because he knew Andy pretty well, and I hung out with Andy quite a bit, so... He kind of got. I didn't.
Well, and if we want to go back to Epidos 1, because I love how tying things together. Andy and I didn't really start hanging out until it was like a certain class in high school, and it was Andy, to his credit, is like, you know, we were hating on each other pretty hard, and then he was like, "Hey, you're a pretty big smartass. I'm a pretty big smartass. We should really just hang out and be smart."
The two of us together.
Yeah, and that's how that kind of happened. So, to his credit, I mean,
he extended the smart-ass branch.
That's right. And that's kind of how that happened. But high school football was a lot different than the
pre school. Correct me if I'm wrong, but were we ever any good when you played?
I started both ways. I guess the coach, I ended up not starting. I started both ways, I think, in maybe junior
year. You said you started both ways. I got you on that.
That's right.
Zing. No, I mean, was the team at all? I mean, I'm talking about you personally, but I mean, were our team, the Saints, were they ever any good? I just don't remember them being that competitive while we were attending.
We had, if Okay, so the class ahead of us, like, nobody played football in the class ahead of us.
Everybody played soccer.
I don't know who played what.
We were a soccer high school. That's what our school revolved around, was the freaking soccer players, wasn't it?
Really?
I thought so.
Yeah, well, the soccer team was top 25 in the nation.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, it was kind of shitty for me in fall because everyone was like, soccer. I'm like, football.
But, well, where I grew up in Western Kansas, it was all about football, and there was no soccer. So when we moved from Wichita, where I was still could have had played soccer in high school, we moved to Western Kansas where there was nothing, and I didn't. So I was, my sports were done, like sophomore year.
But there's like maybe a handful of people, guys in front of us. So junior year, we got a lot of experience and playing time, and that made for a really good senior year. And we actually did make the playoffs. We got our asses kicked in the playoffs, but that's because we went out to our Western Kansas with some farm boys out there.
You probably
Salina,
played.
It was Salina Central.
Oh, yeah, there's no way you guys were going to beat Salina.
And they ran all over our asses, and it was not a good game. But you know, we made the playoffs our senior year.
Now, Hoki, did you have, like, any aspirations, like, I want to go to college and play college football
in
some place?
No. I made the decision in the senior year. I was like, I'm going to go for my brains because I was actually a smart ass.
Yeah.
And I was like, I could probably get a scholarship somewhere on my brain. I got tired of the football thing, mainly because, like, our high school football coach was a hothead, and he was kind of a douche.
Yeah.
And I still had some ill winds about being forced into wrestling. To play football. So I was like, I'm kind of done with this bullshit. When I said that, the coach is like, you know, you had some offers from community colleges and stuff. I'm like, that's fine. But I already made my choice. I'm glad I did, too.
Yeah.
But I did start both ways. I don't know if I ended up starting both ways junior year, but I think that might have happened. But senior year, well, last thing I want to say about junior year, like, there's, like, maybe six or seven guys that played football in the class ahead of us, and one of the guys, their favorite thing to do was to sing, It's Time for Me to Fly? Is that Fleetwood Mac?
It's
time for me to fly, you know?
That's kind of, is that, like, Supertramp or something like that?
Or is that just Lindsey Buckingham?
So the point is that he would sing that song in a bus ride on the way home from and that gives you a good indication of just how tough the guys were ahead of us in the class. Is that that's what it sounds like. So it is. It's
Aria Speedwagon.
It's Aria Speedwagon. Yeah,
it's Oreo Speedwagon.
Oh, there's so many circles getting
I have to tell you, I went for a walk the other night and I started thinking of Oreo Speedwagon and started laughing.
Yeah, what's the time, Tim?
Oreo Speedwagon and DC Grabs.
So
it's Oreo Speed.
So senior year is a better, but like middle school, like with the undefeated teams, I had the most fun, and my dad, I guess at the time, like, ESPN was really starting to get into its own.
Uh-huh.
And, like, you'd have, like, you know, NFL primetime, right? Sunday nights, where Chris Berman and Keith Jackson would review the games. And that was back when Berman was interesting. Now he's just kind of like, dude, seriously, you need to stop. But my dad had a Sony Handycam, which I think I have, actually. I haven't busted out in a while. Tim knows what it is because that's what we're part of Guns and Guys with. But my dad would have that. And at our middle school games, he would record the games and give his own special commentation on top of the games.
Wow.
So I need to find, if anything, I need to find these tapes.
Oh my God, those would be amazing. I could just imagine him filming it like, well, then Mike just fucked up there.
You'd think. But everybody had everybody on the team has their own nicknames. So my
dad would
be like, Man Mountain Mike, rolling through the hole.
Was he positive? He was more of like a positive dad? Like,
he was more of a positive dad, but I think it was more of just like, I'm going to hem it up on the camcorder. which, you know, I obviously ties to me today. But like my dad would be all like, we had this was it Chichi Aquinas? His name used to be Chichi White, but when he went to Aquinas, it was Chichi Aquinas Kawahu, who ended up playing for like.
So I always knew him as Chichi White.
He changed his name to the more African name because of his mom. I don't know what happened to his dad.
I do kind of remember that now. Chichi White, the one black kid in our school. Two black kids in our school.
The one black guy. There was like a couple of black ladies on there.
Ladies.
You know, we're all the same thing anyway, so.
Yeah, our school is very, very, very Caucasian.
We're all Oreo Speedwagons.
Yes. Hey, you know, when it comes down to that black, white, we're all pink on the inside.
Oh, I was wondering if you were going to say that. I was like, there's no way he's going to go say that we're all pink inside. Yep.
Right? So it doesn't matter to me. But he was the Tower of Doom. So so we would throw a pass to him because he was the tight end. And he's so tall. But my dad would be like, oh, the Tower of Doom got a pass. He would get super excited. And then he would pull at the end of games when we would be up like 30 points. He'd pull, like, the old ABC Monday Night Football. He'd be like, just like Don Meredith, I'm going to tell you, turn out the lights, the party's over. And yeah, I think it was more just for his own glory that he would commentate on that kind of stuff, but it was hilarious listening to it, because we would sit and watch the tape of the game after he would do it, because it was so hilarious. And he would copy that, make tapes, and then pass around to his other parents.
And you gotta find those tapes, because what I really want to do is maybe, like, you know, like around my birthday, I want to get together, like come to Austin, and like we could even do some of these live, and I think we could have a lot of fun doing some stuff, just hanging out and just watching some of the stuff, and like that would be an amazing thing to watch. All right, your dad's
well, A, when is your birthday, and B, you're as well.
Yeah, it's in February. In February. I don't know. Does it get cold in Austin? I know it sounds like such a stupid
question. No, it doesn't.
Oh, no. I mean, it cools off, but it doesn't.
I got to tell you, John, I am with you on your funk because it's been raining ever since, like, I dropped Kelly off at the airport this morning.
Yeah.
It hasn't stopped raining all day. I'm staring at the retention pond.
Well, and I have to say, too.
It's wet.
It can't rain all the time.
Yeah. this is so, like, it's like, I look forward to doing this. Tim and I were talking, and I said that what this podcast feels different from other ones is that we're all kind of like positive to each other and like supportive. And I was like, there's no like mean edge to it, which is really funny to me. You know, it's like, because I really look forward to it, and I'm in a better mood after we do it. And I told him, like, yeah, I just feel really good about it. And then, like, I listen to the other podcasts, and they're just like, kind of mean to each other, so it's kind of, it's like it helps so hopefully this will help a little bit.
And but you have to wonder, though, is it mean for the purpose of being mean, like Wacky Morton DJs, or like, you know, I'm gonna be contrarian just so we can have drama and clash and stuff like that?
Yeah, well, and but Tim did bring up, he said we should try to eventually in the future have an episode or where we try to sell each other on something
that we know the other person, at least one of the other people, just doesn't like or is not on board with.
Well,
my example would be like, you're not a fan of Family Guy, correct, Hoki? Or has that changed?
I hate the Family Guy.
See, I was thinking that was something that, now, John hates it now, but there was a time when he enjoyed it.
Yeah, yeah.
So maybe that would be a good one for me to try to sell.
Well, I've had a couple of Epidose ideas as well. We'll just go ahead and flesh it out in the public because, you know.
Why not?
I thought if we're gonna have a, you know what I like about the show is that we kind of have our own thoughts about what the show is gonna be while we're recording the show. It's
right.
It's completely organic. I thought that maybe around the Christmas time we should like grab about like $10 or whatever X amount of money, and each of us go to our own respective half price books. And do Secret Santas for everybody.
Well, you know, that's so funny, because I have things for both of you to send anyhow, and I was thinking this a similar kind of theme. I was like, that send the package, and we open them live.
Yeah, which I've listened kind to, WrestleCrap of all things, and that's what they did. But, I mean, like, maybe, like, fitting a budget explicitly. Like, you got $10, walk into Half Price Books, get a gift for like the other two guys.
Yeah.
Find something that's under the limit, but also that you could send out, and then we can like open it up and hey, Merry Christmas! It's a Gonzo Guys Christmas.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, I like that.
I think let's put that on the calendar for December.
Yeah.
Yeah. And by the way, I have other sports things too. Still,
I do too. I haven't even so. So let's.
Oh my god, we're like at one. We're at 1:47, and we still. I don't know how people do an hour or 40 minutes.
Well, it's because they were so awesome.
But I found a website, and this is one of my favorite things in sports. And like I said, I'm kind of more of a baseball guy than anything. So, and I know you guys aren't huge baseball guys.
Yeah, I want to get into that too, because you're baseball, Tim. I don't know what you are.
You're Tim's football. Post football.
I
will do basketball too, but not NBA. I only really.
See, you're basketball because of Kansas.
Hey, I can't say that I'm not.
I hate NBA. I hate every other sport.
I don't like the NBA very much either. I do like the finals. I mean, that is pretty good stuff. Like, their championship games are usually pretty damn good.
So I hate everything except for football. I run kcollegegameday.com. Let's be a little bit more organic. I had a live blog yesterday on KC College Game Day where I sat on my ass and watched football and live blog during it, which... If we ever get to the point of where, like, we're setting movies up, right? And we're like, everyone watch a movie. It'd be neat if we could figure out a way that we could live blog us watching a movie. Cause it'd
yeah.
be ridiculous.
Oh, that would be.
Because we would write quips to each other and it would be all recorded on the and it would be up there. Like it would be so awesome if we had the chance to sit down, maybe not together, not like a riff tracks kind of thing, but we set up a live blog, and then it's like at this point in time, we're gonna watch this movie, and then we just say, hey, we're watching this movie now, and then we all live blog, and then we're like Leslie Nielsen, oh, you're a shell of a man, you're about to die, and
right. Like
it would be neat to do like a live blog of a movie that we're watching together, because then we can like get our thoughts together on that page. But that's that. That's all like future stuff. But like that's why it's like, you know, I do the college football. I do football because I love football. I guess for me, like in my age, I'm kind of like I'm kind of the point of where it's like I'm too tired of every other sport. It's like I'm just gonna land on football, and if football turns to shit, then you know it's like whatever. But like I have a hard time like trying to follow any other teams outside of football because of that. Like baseball, and a lot of it is like from Kansas City because Royals suck.
But yeah, I'm still a diehard. Like if I get a chance to catch a Royals game out here, like when they're playing the A's or when they play like the White Sox, they'll show it. Like I will watch it no matter how bad the season is.
You're a stronger person than me. Like, I gave up as soon as I left. I gave up on that. I think it was after the second time I got kicked out of Kauffman Stadium.
He has some history with the Royals himself.
I always forget that. Yeah, don't you have a letter?
I wrote a letter. Oh man!
You should post that letter.
I'll tell you what. I'll transcribe it because I saved copies of it that I mailed. So.
All they had to do is respond to your letter with something. I think they would have kept you.
They would have kept me, but I think they didn't care anyway. And to be honest, I was really drunk. I've been the only, I mean, outside of Manhattan, Kansas, I've pretty much been kicked out of every stadium I've gone to.
I've never been thrown out.
Except Chiefs. Chiefs Stadium.
You have to be really obnoxious to get tossed out.
We went to the Chiefs game last year at Arrowhead, and there was a lippy Raiders guy.
What?
But as soon as like the game was like over, but not like completely over, like where it's like you knew the Raiders were gonna win, and they were just gonna run out the clock, he like grabbed his lady and got the hell out of the stadium. And it's like, wow, you're a very smart fan.
I never got
kicked out of Arrowhead, but that's because the games are too expensive. I only hardly.
Oh yeah.
I got kicked out of Darrell K. Royal Stadium. I never got kicked out of
K State Stadium.
No, never got kicked out of Bill Snyder Family Stadium.
Okay, I didn't know what that was called.
And I can't remember any other stadiums I've been in to see a game. I don't know if I've been to any other college football stadiums. So that's that. So yeah. So that's probably why I like football a lot better than like some of the other sports, because I got kicked out of Kauffman Stadium.
I totally get why like people like are bored by baseball, but the baseball has a lot of things that just kind of appeal to me, in like the weird little stories, and I don't like the superstars. I always refer to myself that I really love fringe players, you know, not French, but fringe. and Tim knows this, that, you know, and I started, and I kind of alluded to this earlier when I said that I, like with cards, you know, like baseball cards, like a card of a certain player would appeal to me, and then I would always follow that player and get his cards. And so I have kind of like I wrote down a couple lists of my favorite fringe players, and my all-time favorite one of, well, there's two of them. One of them is Doug Froebel, who played for the Pittsburgh Pirates mainly in the 80s. And the reason that I got into Doug Froebel was because his card, you remember the cartoon Geech?
Oh, wow. I do.
But Geech was kind of like a weird looking, kind of like a Von Erich kind of guy.
Dude, and that's why, like, that's another, so like, I alluded to it in an earlier epidose, but not to like get too much of an aside, but I definitely want to spend some time going over the current state of Sunday comics and how it's turned to shit.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, because Geech was in there, and I remember, yeah. like right now, like more than half the Sunday comics that are in the paper are all about having babies and shit, and I'm just like, yeah, this
like
is...
like Kathy and the stuff. And
oh, it's so terrible.
For better or worse.
There was a golden age of comics. Anyway, I'd love to do an episode on that.
Oh, no, and it's... I love it, because one of my favorite shows as a kid, it was so surreal, and you could find... like people talking about online, but I've never been able to find a clip, and I will die to get it. And when I was a kid in Wichita in Hayesville, they had this thing called Uncle Bill Reads the Funnies. And it was this guy, he was this bald religious guy, and he had like those creepy like magic ventriloquist puppets.
Oh,
like the really stiff, you know, scary looking ones. And he would sit there and talk to him, and then they would read the funnies that came out that morning. And then they would show, like, the stills. They would, like, shoot a camera shot of it. And he would try to read it in different voices. And it was a really shitty show. But, like, I would watch it almost every Sunday. And I would die to have some of that on tape. I would love to. Because if found footage ever finds it, that's right up their alley. It's like, oh, my God, there's this weird bald guy. But yeah, that's definitely, because, and it's interesting, a friend of mine, my friend Ryan, who works at Lee's, I was in there the other day, and he had this oversized book, and it was Prince Valiant, of like, oh, wow. The Sunday, and he was telling me, he goes, have you ever read this? And I'm like, no. He goes, it's amazing. It's really good. And he's an artist. He's a great artist. And he's like, oh yeah. He goes, this would be right up your alley. So yeah, I'm definitely down with doing a Sunday. That's a really good topic.
It's changed. Like, that was my favorite thing when I was a kid. Sunday mornings as a kid, I would watch ESPN Sports Reporters with Mike Lupica, and then we would watch the McLaughlin Group, and then we would be just late enough for church to go to church, and we'd come back home, and then we'd have the like, Sunday breakfast, and I would only read. Like, the ads, the Sears ad especially, because of the bras, and then also the Sunday comics. And it's like, I, like, opened up the Sunday comics recently, and I looked at it, I'm like, this is the shit. It's terrible. But we should do that for a topic. But,
you know, we should try to find some on eBay, some old vintage Sunday comics.
Yeah, because, I mean...
Like as whole papers. That would be really cool.
But anyway, you were talking about Geech, and I remember Geech. That's why I brought that up, because I remember Geech. So,
but Doug Froebel was very Geechy to me, and I got his card. I want to say, like, because for Christmas, I got a set of 84 baseball cards. I think it was 1984 Tops. And... like from Sam's Wholesale, like, you know, like it was like what people would buy and then they would sell in their stores. Well, my dad sprung for it and bought it for me for Christmas, which I thought was the greatest gift in the world, because I had all these packs on Christmas Day to open. And so that card was in there, the Doug Froebel, and for some reason I was like, this is the weirdest looking guy, because he always looked like he had a like something like a like a big wad of bubble gum or something. But he was brought in to be like Dave Parker was kind of on his way. I don't know if you guys are familiar with Dave Parker, but he was just an amazing driving force for the Pittsburgh Pirates. I mean, just a quality guy on all levels, just a team leader. And he was getting towards the end of his career. And then Doug Froebel just never panned out. He was, the description, and I did a little quick research thing on it. And this will kind of, I don't know if this will really help you with his numbers or what this will tell you. But it says, Froebel, an Ottawa native, hit 12 home runs for the Pirates in 1984, but only batted .203 and struck out in more than one-fourth of his plate appearances. Wow. His 20 career home runs rank him 20th among major league players born in Canada, 363 behind Larry Walker and 7 ahead of Hall of Fame pitcher Ferguson Jenkins. So he's just barely ahead of a pitcher. For the record. And then my other player that I loved, and I posted a picture on Facebook, was Greg Luzinski, who was it. But this kind of alludes to like one of my favorite things about baseball is fat players. I love
like John Crux.
Yeah, I love like a big fat first baseman or a big fat left fielder. And there was actually a site called
Prince Fielder.
Yes. So, or Cecil, yeah. And there's a thing called Fat Leets, and it has like the best Fat Leets of all time.
Who's that fat Detroit Tiger?
That's Prince Fielder.
That's Prince Fielder.
No, yeah, he used to play for the Cecil. I think it was Cecil. When did his dad retire?
I don't know.
Was it recently?
No, it's been a while. His dad's been
Frank
out.
Frank Thomas.
But his dad's...
No, I was thinking big Frank Thomas.
Yeah, Frank Thomas is also
Frank
fat.
Thomas got pretty big too. Yeah, but my favorite.
Okay, so the game I got kicked out. It was one of the games I got kicked out of the Kauffman Stadium, and we had dugout suites. If you ever get dugout suite in Kauffman Stadium, John, you should totally take full advantage of it because it is an open bar, and then you walk outside and you're in the dugout. And I completely took advantage of it.
Is that like the suites, like up top? Because I've
you're next to the dugout of the players.
You got thrown out there?
Well, I didn't get thrown out there. I got thrown out in the upper tier because I went to the cheaper seats because we ran into some Minnesota Twins fans. It was a different game.
Jesus.
Yeah, and well, you know, you got an open bar, and you get free tickets, and you get as much cookies and mixed drinks as you can while you're in there, and it was amazing. So I got completely wasted, and I remember Frank Thomas because of his shoes. He had the weirdest looking shoes. I'm sitting in the dugout suite, bombed off my ass, and he had these weird like. Almost like Back to the Future 2 shoes that he was wearing. It looked like did not fit at all. It was so huge and spongy and weird looking. And I'm like, wow, Frank, really? And but I mean, that's because I was staring at him on first base. So obviously he got to be a runner on base with that. But the thing that stuck with me in my drunken haze, my drunken and sugar high cookie phase, was that Frank Thomas was huge, fat, and he had the weirdest damn shoes I've ever seen.
If baseball's an amazing game where you can be fat, I mean, and can still function. You usually put you at first base or you're a pitcher. And there was a pitcher, and it's funny because Barry Zito, who's now in great shape, he used to be, they said, kind of chunky. And he said he subscribed, I don't remember which pitcher he used to say this, but he said, you can't sprain fat. That's what he used to say. You can sprain a muscle, but you can't sprain fat. So Greg Luzinski was this just giant guy. And he got fatter and fatter because he was for the Phillies. He was pretty good, but then he ended up going to the White Sox. And then where he went, where most guys do when they get fat, he went to be a DH. And so he is giant, and he's got big glasses and a giant beard. And they said he was only 225 pounds. But this is a writer in 1979 said that Greg Luzinski is a doorway and a half. They could hold the Winter Olympics on his shoulders, balance Rhode Island on his knees, and plug up leaky dams with his feet. But so yeah, I love a good fat baseball player. Like I told Tim, like my favorite things are like a fat baseball player, knuckleballs, and guys with weird deliveries pitching, like sidearm and stuff. So
oh, like that guy Quisenberry. Like,
yeah, and did you ever hear the Quisenberry? I know Tim. I've heard Tim. You actually saw the artifact from the Quisenberry story. I don't know if I've ever told you this story, Hokey, but you know, Dan Quisenberry died of cancer. And everyone, like, loves him and everything. And I remember my mom got in trouble at her – well, not in trouble, but everyone looked at her weird. At work, they were talking about, oh, what a great man he was and everything. And my mom was like, he was a fucking asshole. And they all looked at her shocked. And she was like, yeah, he wouldn't sign a baseball for my kid. And, you know, and the Royals used to do where you could go and they would have people sign at the table. Like, they, you know, on certain days. And it was Dan Quisenberry, Brett Saberhagen, and I can't remember who else it was. But so Quisenberry was like, I wanted to pitch like Quisenberry, which now in my 30s, I can. That's how I throw now. But anyhow, long story short, like I had a baseball and he was a total jerk and he wouldn't sign it. He's like, oh, I can only sign this card. And this like was my first Royals game. And he said, well, if I sign that for you, I have to sign stuff for everyone. He goes, not going to do it. It was just a real dick. And it just made me feel like, wow, baseball players are assholes, which is still true. So, yeah. Anyway, so yeah, I like those weird little stories and weird delivery things, but yeah, I'm definitely a baseball guy. I'm still not in football mode yet. I have trouble getting into football until baseball is over. I can't fully commit.
That makes sense though, because like baseball is number one and football is two. Then you know you got
get right into the heart of your playoffs and everything.
Yeah,
and I'm actually out here. There's a chance there's going to be both of the teams in this area are
going. A's can make it, and
yeah. I'm more excited about the A's.
And the Orioles might make it. And
I love the Orioles too. I mean, it's like I'm pretty excited. I mean, especially if the A's can knock out the Rangers, I'm going to be just absolutely thrilled, because I'm just tired of the Rangers.
I'll kind of watch postseason any sport. I should say that I like.
I do watch a little.
I will pick a team once the postseason starts, even if I'm not crazy about the sport, and then I'll root for them.
Yeah, my thing that I'm hoping the most for the sports here is like I really am. I'm crossing my fingers that R.A. Dickey's going to win the Cy Young for the National League. You know, the knuckleball guy that I've been adding. You know, just bothering everybody about for years about how much I like him, and now he's having this amazing year. So yeah, so that's yeah. I don't know, and so I have a question to bring to the table. If you are you guys want to?
Yeah.
Okay, so and I know because I traveled with Tim before and he watched some of this, but do you guys consider the World Series of Poker and cards a sport?
No. I consider Magic the Gathering not a sport.
It's a card.
It's another T-shirt.
That's right. And I work with guys who do Magic the Gathering at work.
Wow. Well, but you know what? I can't make fun of Magic the Gathering because one of my favorite things to play is that Strat-O-Matic baseball, the dice rolling game when you have the actual cards of the players. That's another thing that I'm always a big proponent of that no one really seems interested in but me.
I have to play it in person, I think, with you to really get into it.
Yeah, I guess. I guess it's one of those things, once you play it, it would be... I guess it was like Catan. Like, I didn't really understand Catan, then when I played it, I was like, yeah, it's pretty fun.
Yeah.
So, okay, so poker, you guys both say no, right? Even though it's on ESPN. No. What about the lumberjack competitions?
Yes.
Yes? Why? Why is...
Because it's skill, and if you want to throw NASCAR in as a sport, then you're going to do lumberjack.
Is NASCAR a sport?
I would say if there is a physical aspect to it, there's no physical aspect to poker aside from holding the cards in your hand. So I'd say that's a skill, but it's not a sport. Whereas I think even as you know, as much as I like golf, even NASCAR, I do think there's a physical aspect to driving that kind of car that fast. It takes a lot of control and strength and.
It's hand-eye coordination, right? You need to have that hand-eye coordination to be able to steer a car and drive and shift, as well as, like, for lumberjacks, be able to cut up and down on solids or climb, you know, with Magic the Gathering and with, like, poker, basically you're drawing and then and dropping cards. I think it's more of a skill than a sport, and especially, like, you can bluff people out in poker and stuff like that. I don't think you can call...
I would consider it. I think it's more of, like, being aware of numbers and likely... And not ratios, but if you're doing the statistics and being able to count things and have mathematical ways.
Yeah,
I think that, and I'm saying it's not a skill, but it's definitely not a sport.
How crazy do you think that they thought at ESPN the first guy who brought that as a proposal, like as programming? I mean, do you think they probably looked at him like he's insane?
Well, for a while, ESPN was looking for anything to fill
time.
Because they were 24 hours and they had to have stuff, so they took any odd sport they could get or anything that was loosely sports related they could show.
Yeah, but the odd sports I can understand, but that one, I think that would at that time, that would have been a hard sell, but why would you show that?
And even then, when they first showed it, they didn't have those little lipstick cameras like they do now where you could actually see what they have. You just kind of watch them play.
Yo.
They couldn't go around and look behind what was in their hand. You just sat there and watched them play at the table. You didn't see what was in their hand.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah.
That's awful.
It seems like it'd be pretty boring.
You guys remember the wide world of sports when we were kids?
Yep.
A little bit.
Sports.
Yeah, I think that's my age.
Skiing and ski jump and...
I think we take for granted now, like how many much sports we have. I mean, like at any time of the night, no matter if it's 2-3 in the morning and you can't sleep, you could turn on, you could watch some sports.
Hey, I got home from the Passion Pit show last night, and I turned on the TV, and there was a little bit of Ring of Honor on, and I was like, yay.
Oh. Yeah, we have to have a wrestling one eventually, too.
That's
like Sunny Boy level right there.
Yeah, yeah. That could be a multi. I think Sunny Boy and wrestling.
Sport?
No. Well, I mean, amateur wrestling, yeah.
Third wrestling is performance.
Yeah,
but it is funny because ESPN Classic does show old AWA.
Yeah.
They do show wrestling. And when I was a kid, I used to come home from school and I would watch World Class Championship like at 3:30 or something on ESPN. They used to show wrestling in the afternoon.
You can have athletic performance that's not a sport.
Yeah.
And I would say that wrestling is more of an athletic performance.
Yeah.
Ice skating. Still,
yeah. That's a sport. Would you say?
Well, let me see. Ice skating, it is physically demanding.
But it's judged.
You are scored. So
I don't like judges and scores because it's objective. It's not subjective. Like with other sports, it's like you know who wins and loses. You gotta rely on somebody who is a quote unquote expert, and then they're like, oh, I'm gonna give you an arbitrary number, and then that's how they judge against each other. It's like I don't like that as much.
Well, to a certain extent, on some of those people, if you can do like a triple flip and the other guys all do double flips.
I tell you what, that's you get all 10s from me if you can do the triple Lindy.
That's a great sports movie.
Yes.
Kind of. It's a sports movie. Oh,
yeah.
So I don't know like what your guys' favorite sports movies are, but I kind of listed a couple out, and there was one that I think is a totally sleeper movie that no one ever talks about, and I don't know if you guys have seen it.
Ooh.
I imagine you have North Dallas 40.
I saw it.
But it's a theme.
Here, I'll be back real quick.
Another beer before he's going to pee.
Both.
What was that, Tim?
Oh, it's about the prison team with Burt Reynolds, right?
No, that's the longest yard.
No, that's the longest yard. What is North Dallas 40?
By the way, the longest yard has been remade like twice. Because there's The Longest Yard with Burt Reynolds, and then there was the Adam Sandler remake. But before the Adam Sandler remake, there was a soccer version of it called Mean Machine with Vinnie Jones. Which is a pretty good take on it. Vinnie Jones is scary as hell to me.
Is Nick Nolte in North Dallas 40?
Yes.
Okay.
And it's loosely based on the Dallas Cowboys of the 80s, because the Cowboys were the first ones to start using computers and state and also started using things to cortisone shots and different steroids and such to they were like, because the Cowboys, they were like the state of the art team. So Nick Nolte is a aging receiver and Mac Davis is the quarterback, and Mac Davis is can you hear the flush? Did you just hear that?
That's awesome.
You could hear the flush, Hoke.
Well, yes, I know.
I was hoping you'd rip one too.
Earlier.
Yeah, I'm surprised that I had a little bit of Indian food earlier, so I would imagine that's why I'm queasy. But Yeah, I'm not as queasy. But I was just telling that North Dallas 40, that Mac Davis is an amazing character in that movie. But and Nick Nolte is basically just kind of an aging athlete, and he's about to walk away from it all. And it's got some really good serious moments, but it's not heavy-handed, but it's really funny. It's a great movie. But that's one of the underrated ones. And there's also... And I wanted to almost rewatch this to kind of cleanse myself of the Slapshot 2 and 3 turds. But there's a documentary that you can watch streaming on Netflix. It's called Knuckle. And I watched it, about 5-6 months ago. And it's about bare knuckle fighting in Ireland.
Huh.
And it follows these families. Huh?
I've seen at least a trailer for that.
It's good. It's really fascinating. It's kind of sad too. Just like, I'm like, why are these people fighting each other? But and then the other one that I wrote down, well, besides, because Hokie, we've talked about this before, like my love of Rocky Balboa, the last Rocky movie.
Oh yeah.
I think I've actually put that on the list. I love that movie. And then but the other one I put, one of it's called Sugar. It's about a baseball player from the Dominican Republic coming over, and it was made by some kind of artsy fartsy Sundance people, but it's a good movie. It's really good. And yeah, and then there's also do you guys watch those 30 for 30s on ESPN?
I've seen some of them. I watched
an ESPN, like it was like a double 30 for 30, but it's like ESPN 60, and it was about the corruption of SMU back in the 80s. It was awesome. It's called Pony Excess.
That's a good.
Hey, John, speaking of Dallas, they're getting their asses handed to them by Seattle right now, like 27.
Are they really?
Yeah,
they're getting whopped.
How's everybody doing today in fantasy football land, by the way?
I have 92 freaking points, more than anybody else, except for the guy that's beating me right now.
That drives me crazy.
92 points and you're losing?
Yeah. Because what I said earlier about CJ Spiller.
Yeah, I'm still alive for this game. And in my family league.
I have Denver's defense Monday night, so if they can score like 20 points, I might.
My family league, I'm killing. I got like 111 points.
Hey.
I'm with my matchup, I'm only in one league. I am up 131 to 121, and he's just about out of players, but I still have Frank Gore, and I have San Francisco's defense.
Ooh, I still got
him. And I also have. Jacquees Rogers for Denver too.
Ooh,
so I should be okay.
I got Julio Jones left for Atlanta. That's gonna pay off.
I tried to draft him super early, but well, speaking of fantasy, there's a great documentary on ESPN2 called "Silly Little Game" that talks about the people who invented fantasy sports. It was some like news writers and friends in the East Coast.
Oh, nice.
They started American baseball, and it's funny because they said it's like a $5 billion industry.
Yeah, it is.
And you know how much money those people made from it?
None.
Zero.
That's a Trivial Pursuit question.
Oh god, yeah. It's like, I don't know how you don't just slit your wrist on that one. I think if something like that happened to me, every point at some day, I would just get that warm feeling of just going. You know how you kind of get kind of sweaty and you just go, oh god, I can't believe I did that. Just like. Every day at some point, I would feel that way. But.
So how is, let's see, so Hobie, you are scoring well, but the guy in front next to you is beating you because of the running back. Ugh, yeah.
I always hate the matchups like that, when it's like, I could have beaten everybody else.
Except for
I like that I'm putting up that many points, though, so.
Yeah.
Because,
yeah.
Like, the tiebreaker are points. It's like head-to-head and points, so it's like, even though I'll probably end up going 0-2, I'm feeling pretty good that I made roster and bench moves to get me 92 points, and I have a defense left to go. So, it sucks to lose, but I feel pretty good long term.
Yeah,
I could pull out a win here, but I think I'm going to be in the 0-2 club in Hokies League.
I will, but you'll be with me, homie.
Yeah, I think we'll be. I just do not do well in your league.
It was quite the crapper for me. But hey, speaking of crappers.
Yes.
I gotta tell you about the one like herring incident I had in middle football.
Yes. I remember this. Go ahead.
And the dog is looking at me the same way too. I am taking care of the dog right now. Achilles out. I know she's got to go out and crap, but I think we got a little bit of time because she just sat down on the floor and huffed at me, so.
Okay.
I think I got a little bit of time. I got plenty, actually. So we would, you know, Olathe, Tim, you ever been out to Heritage Park in Olathe?
Yeah. Anyway.
All right. Heritage Park is where the soccer and football teams play for kids and stuff in Olathe, right? And on the way, and they have Carl's Jr. down here, but in Kansas City, it's Hardee's. So my dad, as awesome as he was, every morning, Saturday morning when I go play a football game, we'd stop by Hardee's and get like a Hardee's breakfast, right? And we'd eat like a biscuit, sausage gravy and biscuit. Oh, it's the best. Carl's Jr. Hardee's best, like, gravy, like a best, like, egg, cheese, biscuit ever. Sausage. Oh, so tasty. And we'd have that every Saturday before a game. And I'd eat that, and then I'd go play football, right? Well, this one particular weekend, I don't know if it was the biscuit sandwich or if it was something else, but for some reason, in the first or second quarter of the game I was playing, it might have been in the seventh grade, might have been the eighth, for some reason I really had to use the bathroom, and because something was not agreeing with me, right? So I'm like, coach. And they're like, oh, are you doing good? You're doing good. It's like, I can still make it. I think I can still make it. And finally, you know, the second half, or the first half gets over. I'm like, all right, you guys enjoy your orange slices and Capri Suns. And I got to use the restroom. So it was in Heritage Park, and around the football field and the soccer field, they'd have porta potties, right? And I go in there, and I mean, if you guys have used porta potties, and you know how claustrophobic and cumbersome it is, right?
I tried never to shit in one of them.
You know, sometimes, in like that one particular Saturday, you just don't have a choice, John. And I didn't have a choice, and it was so even more claustrophobic having football gear on. But here's the problem. It was some massively explosive diarrhea. I don't know what the hell I was eating. I probably had a more poor diet than what I have right now, except for today, because I did just eat some sliders and drinking some beer. But, oh my God, it exploded. And I didn't have time to think because I had to go. I was holding it in for so long. I didn't have time to like judge a porta potty or do some scouting. Like, you guys scout porta potties and stuff. I was like, this one's clean. This one,
yeah.
That's a whole other episode too. Actually, is bathroom humor or bathroom decision making. Like, for some reason, I like to scout out different bathroom stalls before I make my decision to crap into something.
And, like, where to crap at work.
If the toilet seat's up or down. Because if it's up, it's a good indication that it's just been cleaned and no one's used it. It's stuff like that, right? And training your home body to crap at work instead of at home so you can save money on toilet paper. So
what?
so there's a
how
whole.
Much, how we, they pay you if that's an equation. I mean, I'm not making a ton of money, but I like to think I can afford the ass paper.
It's in an office building, so really, it's part of their lease with the office. So.
Ah.
So anyway, but I'm sitting in at halftime. Everyone's getting their Capri Sun, and I'm just like, it's like the halt. It's like fucking Normandy. I'm crapping on this beach of just water and pain and acid, and acid feeling, and I'm like, oh, it's all done. Oh, thank God, I don't have to do anymore. And I go reach for the toilet paper. No toilet paper in the toilet paper. None whatsoever.
Were they white football pants?
What?
Were they white football pants?
Yes, sir.
Yes. Yes.
And I was like, well, I'm just going to have to go back to the game and play. Because it's sports, right? You gotta suck it up and play, son.
In the back of your pants look like a Jackson Pollock painting.
well, I hike him on up and I trudge right back out on the field, right? And I don't think it was the visual that was more painful than the actual burning sensation I had for the rest of the second half. Because I don't know what the hell I had. It must have been more peppers or something. But, oh, my God, the second half of the game, my butthole burned so bad. It was on fire. I was like, I was still playing football and I was still blocking people. But, like, oh, the only thing I could think about is how much, like, my butthole felt like the eye of Mordor. And it was fire. And we got done with the game. I told my dad, and like, yeah, whatever. And then we go home. I get cleaned up. But that was, like, probably one of the more traumatic sports experiences.
Was it visible, though? I mean, was
it? No. I really don't know if it was or not. Also, I remember there was leftover rectal juices that was burning around my butthole, and that because I was an offensive lineman, every play I had to squat down, so it just kind of mixed things up a lot more than what I would really like to have enjoyed.
You know, it probably sounded like this when you squatted down in your stance, like steam releasing.
Totally distracted me for the whole game. Totally.
Yeah, but you didn't have any other incidents? Because I would be afraid you'd get hit.
No, I was all clean. I think it was more just the fact that my butthole was on fire. I don't think it was willing to open up anymore. I think my butthole was cognizant of the situation I was in. It was like, sorry, partner, I got you at halftime. I'm going to go ahead and sit this one out so you can survive this.
Isn't that odd how sometimes it knows? Like, it's almost like it can kind of control it and say, okay, I'll give you a chance. And I don't understand how it can just say, look, you just got to help me out for this little bit here, then we can wait till we get home.
I mean, I've had some other, fun experiences with my butthole. But it's not really sports related,
Well, that is, though. That's a nice...
Like, I went to a Rat Attack concert in Colombia with Kelly, and I had food poisoning that before, but I wasn't going to give up my ticket. So I went to the show, and I pretty much shat between every song. I still survived it. And
I had some of the worst gas in my life. I don't remember what club it was, but my friend Terry and his girlfriend Nicole, we went, and we ate at that place. Oh, Gojo's. In Kansas City. And there was, they did some sort of like a Hollandaise sauce or something, and it just killed me. And I was just crumb dusting that whole crowd. And it was like, you could see it like move through the crowd. And people were like, his girlfriend like looked at him at one point. She's like, what is that smell? And I was like, oh God, oh God. Oh, and it was bad. Oh my God, it was so painful. And I didn't want to go to the club because you can't use the bathroom.
I just taught somebody the phrase crop dusting earlier this week at work. Somebody at work didn't know what crop dusting meant.
Oh, I actually just did it the other day at a grocery store, and it's still fun. It's still fun. That should be a sport on ESPN.
Yeah.
On the really late night, like confirmed kills. But, well, do you guys think that we've covered everything?
I'll dig up the tie stomping story and I'll put it up. Probably on the blog. I mean, it's a great story and it gives a good reason for people to go to the blog.
Yeah, I need to put some stuff up there. But so to sum it up, Slapshot 1 good, Slapshot 2 and 3
awful. Explosive halftime diarrhea.
Jackson Pollock in your football pants.
Yes. Hey, guess what? We just found our title for the new episode.
I always like how the episodes come along, too. That's the title.
Jackson Pollock in your football pants.
Do you guys want to end with a bad joke?
Hook me up, and then we got to figure out what song. Tim had a good idea, but...
You can put it in later. But.
Yeah.
I like the idea of the song from Slapshot with the first one, and they did a cover of the third, but it's All Right.
Huh? Captain Tennille, isn't it? Captain
Tennille. Yeah, that's the song I really like.
They kept playing it over and over again. In the original Slapshot, like, that was the same song they'd used it in every...
Yeah, they played it. Yeah, so like the bus traveling scenes, they always used it. And then you could just add Hokie's juicer from earlier in it. Because they can have him say, it's all right, and then Hokie can, he releases the grease. So do you want to end on a joke?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, are you ready? And it's kind of, it's not really totally sports, but, it's, okay, involves a bionic woman. So once, during her summer vacation, the bionic woman took an overnight train journey. She entered her berth without noticing that the man in the berth above her above hers was peeping through the curtains. The fellow was quite chagrined to see her remove her wig, false eyelashes, glass eye, padded brassiere, mechanical hand, and bionic leg. When she turned around to pull up the cover, she saw the peeping Tom and cried out in alarm, "Oh my goodness, what do you want?" "You know goddamn well what I want," he snarled. "Unscrew it and toss it up here."
Wow.
Oh my god, this is... Isn't that's not funny at all, do you
think? No, it isn't. I'm sorry, I just did not laugh at that.
Oh my god, it's so bad, it's good. But that's great because that ties in with like Slapshot 2 and 3. That was probably the worst joke.
If somebody said in that movie to unscrew it and toss it up there in Slapshot 2 or 3, I think I would laugh at that.
Oh, ooh. By the way, I did start to watch the video version of this, and it's kind of just lame stand-up comics. But I'll be sending it to you guys soon. The Jersey Tate.
Do a high elbow and go, Gordy!
Yeah.
Oh, is that what's in it?
Yes!
That's like a popular song.
It's not Captain Antonio, it's somebody else. It's Maxine Nightingale.
In the book.
There you go.
I guess that means that another Gonzo guy is in the books.
I think so. That's where we end with the classic song.
Probably some interjected parts. Well, until next time, we don't even know what the next topic is.
We'll figure it out.
Yeah, I'll put it on the Facebook or the Twitters, or we'll just come up with something.
I thought we'd figured it out.
What's the next one?
That's the thing is, I'm so old and forgetful. We'll get it.
We'll get it.
Right. We'll figure it out.
Well, until next time, we're working on it.